bullshit, man. Motherfucker.
Yakuza. Yakuza. Yakuza Kick Radio. Anyone listening? Anyone listening? Knock, knock. Listen, listen. This is Sammy Callahan, and you're listening to him on Yakuza Kick Radio. You better all listen.
Yakuza Kick Radio.
Yakuza Radio.
Yakuza Kick Radio.
Yakuza Kick Radio.
Yakuza Kick Radio.
That's Yakuza Kick Radio.
Yakuza Kick Radio.
Well, this is Mr. Insanity, Toby Fine, and if you're not listening to Yakuza Kick Radio, then you're weird.
Boom. All you had to do was listen to Yakuza Kick Radio, but you didn't. Now look at that guy, you homie. Fuck that. Black D. Out.
My name is Justice Payne, and you are listening to Yakuza Kick Radio.
And you are listening to Yakuza Kick Radio, the best in internet wrestling radio, period, bar none, just like Adam Cole.
Yakuza Radio, love the name, Yakuza.
Yakuza Kick Radio has risen from the ashes of bad internet radio and become the premier place for any independent professional wrestler to stop and record their voice.
J-Cat and fucking Eric Lawrence cannot fucking keep this from the public, that they are fucking dyed-in-the-wool, true blue fucking members of fucking Cult Fiction, and motherfuckers need to keep that shit in fucking mind.
But you go to the back, and you tell your boss that there's a new Yakuza in town, and it's Yakuza Kick Radio, and we're taking over.
J-Cat Morris and Eric Williams, your hosts of Yakuza Kick Radio.
Yakuza Kick Radio. Yakuza Kick Radio.
Welcome to Yakuza Kick Radio. It is Thursday, what is today, Jesus Christ, April 12, 2012. Got a lot to talk about tonight. We are 2 days away from Best of the Best 11, and I will be having my guest Dave Crist on tonight. We had talked to his brother a couple weeks back. I talked to his brother a couple weeks back, Jake, and great interview. So we're going to have Dave on to, you know, get the other side of things. They're going to go into battle on Saturday. That will be a non-tournament match, and we'll, you know, we'll run down the whole tournament and everything on later on tonight. And Raw and Jersey All-Pro's got a show this weekend. You know, we'll touch on that, everything. So that's what it is. Going to get into a bunch of different things. Let me see. Well, Scott Hall got arrested again for apparently choking his girlfriend. So, I mean, it's more or less like saying what day of the week it is. So, like I said, it's Thursday, April 12, 2012. Scott Hall arrested. All right. So, yeah, any minute, a guest will be calling in. We'll go from there. And then, you know, we'll get into everything else. So, Raw was decent. You know, they're rolling off of this WrestleMania with decent momentum and stuff. I'm not bored just yet, but give them time. They'll wear me out in no time. So, there's that. I'm going to get into a lot of different random news topics later on. Best of the best. Let me just touch on a few of those things while I'm waiting. Well, obviously, you know, as previously mentioned, Wuhan Nation had a severe injury and he's going to be out for almost a year. They announced his replacement to be Greg Excellent, another recent guest of ours. You know, and he's going to go in. This will be the second Best of the Best tournament he actually takes part in. And we wish him luck. He goes into the first round and he's going to be in there with Willie Mack and Alex Colon in a three-way. So that'll be his match. That's actually the fourth bracket. And there's also ACH, Lince Dorado, and AR Fox. There's Chuck Taylor, Johnny Gargano, and Samory Del Sol. And the other bracket of Sammy Callahan, Drake Younger, MK McKinnon, and Trent Seven. So there's your four brackets. Obviously, you got your non-tournament stuff. Bulldozer Matt Tremont taking on DJ Hyde, Drew Gulak is signing a contract with Danny Havoc. Tony Nese and Adam Cole are fighting a dark match. I believe that's because Adam Cole has a ROH contract, so he can't really do pay-per-views unless it's for Ring of Honor. And, of course, we have the CZW Wire TV title on the line. Jake Crist versus Dave Crist. So, big stuff. And any minute we'll have on one half of that match. Let me see. All right. So, yeah, there's some pretty big stuff. Jersey All Pro is doing their thing over there. It's like a anniversary show type business, and then it's also supposed to be their last show. So I don't really know how to – guess we'll see how that turns out. I won't, but I'll definitely hear from some other people because I'll be there Saturday watching the Best of the Best. I haven't missed the Best of the Best yet. Been there since one. Always a fantastic tournament. Obviously, they skipped a year. Last year was 10. They skipped the year before. And then, rolling on, we got Cage of Death. Best of the Best 11. So that's what we got. What else? What else could I touch on real quick? Matt Hardy's hearing is actually May 4th. Got moved to May 4th. So I don't know if this is Jeff Hardy style delaying of the court cases or whatever. But well, I guess we'll see. I could only hope that something takes them all away from, what is it, PWS? Yeah, I think it's PWS that's booking them. They got Muda on June 1st. They got Muda lined up for that. And Mil Máscaras and the whole nine. I already like prepaid for a Muda John. And pretty excited about that. I'd really rather not see Matt Hardy, so hopefully we could have like community service picking up garbage somewhere or something. Somewhere outside of Rawway. That would work fine. Perfectly fine. So, yeah, we'll see what happens. Definitely have to see what happens. They're booking a lot of talent over there. It's got really like a mixed bag. You get some like indie names. Get some of the big TV names that have a habit of doing a lot of that. And they seem to stack their cards pretty high. So, you know, whatever you're going for, whether it be the entertainment version of wrestling where you're just going for big faces and larger-than-life characters and stuff like that, you know, opportunities for autographs, you know, photo ops, that type of thing. Yeah, they bring you a good product for that. And, you know, a lot of the guys you're used to seeing on CZW, such as, you know, Sammy Callahan and a lot of other guys, AR Fox, you know, these type of guys have worked over there, and pretty decent show as far as I'm concerned. I've actually never been to one live. They actually also have Balls Mahoney shooting T-shirts out into the crowd via whatever he's abusing. And, yeah, lots of fun. I will not sit in the front row without one of those shields that they give to the Gallagher fans. But I'll be in the bleachers, fuck all of that. So, yeah. Just waiting on Dave. Fashionably late, so it's all good. Let me see what else. What else do we have to talk about? Honestly, odds-on favorites for Best of the Best would be Sammy Callahan's got the fan vote on the website over there. Tomorrow night, he's actually going to Canada to wrestle Dave Finley again, and that's pretty big stuff there. I know he's looking forward to that. And you can't let up for 2 seconds because right around the corner, Best of the Best, the very next day. So, big stuff, nonstop. What else? I don't have that many little tidbits to fucking add. Just more or less want to go into the joint. Let me see. Jersey All Pro, let me touch on that real quick. Loki and Dan Moff's headlining the thing. I think this is the first time Loki and Dan Moff have gotten a ring since, one-on-one at least, since Loki knocked Dan Moff unconscious in Ring of Honor back in the day. I could be wrong on that one. I'm not really positive. But, yeah, they got that thing going over there. And It's weird because they got a lot of stuff going for titles, but they're billing it as a last show. So I'm not really sure that's supposed to mean something. Because, you know, a title match should have some kind of implications of a rematch or another match or some kind of something. I don't know, but apparently not. So you get the rematch of Dave Finley versus Sami Callihan. You get a dream match of Loki versus El Generico. You get Johnny Gargano versus AR Fox. You get Chuck Taylor versus Samurai Del Sol. Samurai Del Sol is his debut in Evolve. He wrestled in Dragon Gate, but he's not in Evolve yet. The Scene against the Super Smash Brothers. You got a challenge match in Bobby Fish versus Alex Reynolds. Another challenge match in John Silver versus Cheech. You got Josh Alexander versus Chuck Taylor, Mystery Man. So I guess Chuck Taylor's got a mystery guy for him or something. He has informed us that he's... It's saying he's starting a new stable and he's going to announce his first member on that show or whatever. So yeah, they'll be over there in Canada and... where? In Ontario, Canada. And it'll be an eye pay-per-view. Yeah, it should be pretty big. I know Fit Finley and Sammy just killed it the first time out in BB King's in New York. And I would expect no different from them out there in Canada. Yeah, low-key on El Generico's home turf, at least his home country. Could be fucking very, very far away from where he actually lives, but yeah, you know, I figure the two of them will tear it up. El Generico never disappoints, and Loki always brings it, so yeah, I expect some kind of impact out of that for sure. And if you want to get the iPay-per-view, I believe it's, WWNLive.com. You can check that out. So, yeah, you get that. I haven't signed up for that just yet, just because I'm not sure what I'm doing tomorrow night. I don't want to get tied up and then not see it. Definitely check it out in the future. May or may not watch it live tomorrow. We'll have to see. But I definitely recommend the product. Dragon Gate USA killed it on WrestleMania weekend. Those two shows were far better than WrestleMania. And it's just my opinion. But if you like real wrestling and not so much of the TV product, then that's the way to go. And... that's why I attend the indie shows. So, yeah. Let me see. About 15 minutes in here, and still no guests. So, let me see. What can I do? Shit, my TV is showing me garbage. I got Mr. Anderson and that Gunner cat on my TV, so that's not giving me any entertaining things to talk about. Yeah, see, I can't even get out that sentence when I talk about TNA. It's ridiculous. The bald ref has got more charisma than those two guys in the ring. Fantastic. Okay. What else is happening? Well, those, for anyone who's listening that was keeping tabs on the ECWA situation, apparently they've continued to use this guy who's a, you know, sex offender and whatnot. And, not really sure what the fuck the deal is that. And someone is asking when Dave calls in, am I taking calls from listeners? Well, the answer to that is if there's time, I have a lot of questions and, it really depends. I gotta see. And, I'm also still waiting on Dave himself. So, we will have to see. Only time will tell. But, just waiting on that. So, yeah, anybody got any questions, random stuff in the chat you want to throw at me, and I'll, give you the best answer I can give you. Because, just trying to more or less spin wheels, spin plates, spin something. Waste a little bit of time. My guest comes on, and then, go from there. Okay, so, nothing yet. Let me see. don't know. Yeah, definitely looking forward to Best of the Best. They got a lot of good stuff going on. The matches are really stacked. I would imagine this card is going to come through like every other Best of the Best does. Sammy and Drake in the first match, they're really not the type of guys that disappoint. They tore it up. I got Brian acting stupid in the chat. Why do zebras have spots? Oh, Jesus Christ. I'm not a big fan of MK McKinnon and Trent Seven, but, you know, I've only seen limited amount of their work, so maybe they'll prove me wrong. I mean, those are the two questionable guys in the tournament, and they're right in the first match. So, who knows? You know, anything could happen. They could turn it up. They're going to have to in there with Sammy and Drake, so no maybes about it. And, you know, you got Chuck Taylor, Johnny Gargano. Those two were teamed up in Dragon Gate Evolve type thing. I don't know about Evolve, but, yeah, definitely in Dragon Gate. They're tearing it up in there, and they just, yeah, Chuck Taylor just turned on them, and Samurai Del Sol is a really exciting lucha guy. Just debuted in the past couple shows or whatever for CZW, and yeah, he's a fast-moving guy. He's a lot of fun to watch. So there's that. And then you got ACH, man. He's a really exciting dude to watch. So I keep telling people, just search ACH versus AR Fox, and you'll get a match that comes up there. It's really good shit. Lince Dorado's always been a good flyer and everything like that. So I think he'll go well with the match, but it's more or less like the match I was talking about. You got the potential to have that type of thing in there. Plus with Lince Dorado in there to mix it up, you never know how that match is going to turn out. I would imagine pretty well. You know, Willie Mack, a standout guy from Pro Wrestling Guerrilla out there in California, then, hasn't been in CZW yet. He'll make his debut. And you got Alex Colon. You know, everybody in CZW knows who that is. And you got Greg Excellent filling in the spot there. And bigger guy, but he's been in there with the lightweights before, so a stranger to that type of thing. And, so the tournament does look good. Tournament definitely looks good. And let me just shoot Dave a message real quick to see if I could speed this up. I know he's been out of the weather all week, so... he may be running a little bit behind schedule. So, yeah. What else? Yeah, like I said, the non-tournament matches, Bulldozer's been trying to, you know, vie for his spot and his respect and everything else in the company. As I lose my voice. And, coming off of that, challenged DJ Hyde, more or less forced DJ Hyde into giving him a shot to wrestle him, and, that's what he's getting. Be him and DJ. So, and I didn't even mention this. This is in Voorhees, New Jersey, at the Flyer Skate Zone. And yep. So that's what they're gonna be doing over there. Definitely a strange venue, but I'd say better than the gym they worked in last month. It was pretty weird having only three sides of the ring having fans there. They kind of stuffed it into a little back room and whatnot. So, you know, I mean, you got to do what you got to do. You know, wherever you could drop that show, I'm all for it. Rather that than have no show. But, you know, this is a little more spacious. They got room to move around. They won't have them guardrails all pinned up against the ring for the Best of the Best tournament. So that's very good. Leaves the opportunity for a lot of different things. They got enough room to pack that building, so everybody come out there. You know, Flyer Skate Zone in Voorhees, New Jersey. It's not that far from where I'm at, so more or less on the turnpike you can get there. I think turnpike is 70. I don't know. We'll take 70 out there, but I don't know what you guys do. Check that shit out on Google Maps or whatever the fuck you do. GPS, whatever. Yeah, so that's that. Gulak and Danny Havoc have been going back and forth for, fuck, man, I don't know how long. So I'm not really sure what this contract signing is leading to, when they're going to wrestle again, or, you know, what's the purpose. I know they've been, you know, it's kind of like an ongoing feud, but just like when you think it kind of comes to a head, like they keep going. So I guess we'll see what goes on there. You know, Drew's a great wrestler, and Danny Havoc's, you know, one of the toughest deathmatch wrestlers in the business right now. So who knows? I mean, they can make something out of it. Tournament of Death's not that far away, so I know you could expect Danny Havoc to be in that. Of course, you would not expect Drew Gulak to be in that. And then, you know, Matt Tremont and so many other things that could happen. Big event in Delaware. Everybody go check that shit out, too. I want to say it's the 25th or some shit like this. Ah, fuck, I forget. Let me see. 23rd. I believe, yep. The 23rd. They've announced Matt Tremont and Rory Mondo thus far. So, you got that. And, let me see. Got a caller yet? No, I do not. All right. It's getting awkward. Well, I'm going to play a track, waste a little more time. Hopefully, when I get back from the song, I have a caller on the line, and we'll kick this shit off.
My brother, right? No doubt. You're getting down. No doubt. Word the mother smooth. I'm going all out. You're my brother, right? No doubt. You're getting down. No doubt. Word the mother trigger. I'm going all out. What you think, nigga? You're my blood, my motherfucking heart. We was doing it back to back from the start. It started from back to back, gat to gat. Now it's track to track. So welcome. All you heard is get done up, run up with your gun up. All niggas get hung up. Jack, set position. Black suitcase, black fatigue. Strap, gun holster, ready to toast ya and roast ya. Leave ya clap. Dropping feet like heart collapse. So dead, yeah. While I drop the grease and show you motherfuckers where I head at. We saw who said that. Underground anthem, pledge rap. Fuck with Saratoga, get your head cracked. Broken language, brother force, some other force. Trigger the gambler, I'm my brother's keeper. That's why it ain't no double cross. Fake front and faggots, soft like rabbit. I got gadgets, my craft go static. Pussy niggas get dramatic. Dramatic, get niggas pussy static. Cause craft, my gadgets got a fabric. Like soft faggots, front and fake it's backwards. Any crews that refuse rules and regulations get reincarnated in tools on sets. Niggas, I move with threats. I move with rude shit. Mentally confused and lose shit. Shit loser confused, mentally shit bruise and crew slip. Paralyzation, triple paramedics, I scheme on hospital checks to drug money diabetic. You're my brother, right? No doubt. You're getting down. No doubt. Word the mother smooth, I'm going all out. You're my brother, right? No doubt. You're getting down. No doubt. Word the mother trick, I'm going all out. God gave me a gift, I'm giving him one back. That's a black bag with a ribbon, sealed tight with a tag. A one-way shipment with no sight. I'm giving spirit you dead flight, so niggas get your head right. And I was blessed with sinister schemes, minister dreams, scientific chemist, a drug mixture for the team. The laser, placer, placer, eraser, trigger, embracer, chaser. Downtown courtroom just face. But reporters, I caught her, brought her to the lab, I taught her. I knew her order to slaughter from borders across water, the gunway. Cause one day it's all war. Till then, Friday and Saturday, it'll be my daughters and my Sunday. T-S-R-M-I-O-G-O-T-E-H-R-E. Smooth the hustler, trigger nigga. It's a nigga trigger, smooth the hustler. Customer serving drugs, smuggling drugs, serving customer. D-R period. Period, D-R. We are we? No doubt. Doubt, no. Y'all see, nigga. Nigga, see y'all. My brother, right? No doubt. You're getting down. No doubt. Word the mama smooth, I'm going all out. You're my brother, right? No doubt. You're getting down. No doubt. Word the mother trigger, I'm going all out.
All right, Still no guest. Hold up with that. Yeah. All right. So, yeah, still no guest. Still not sure what's going on. Like I said, Dave's been sick all week, so who knows? I know he's been trying to get right for this weekend and everything, so, you know, hoping to hear from him soon. Hold on 1 second. So, yeah, I got a caller on right now. Hold on. Hey, who's this?
What's up, dude? This is Danny. This isn't Dave. That's all right, though. What's up, bro?
Hey, what's up, man?
How you doing?
Chilling, man. What you want to talk about?
Yeah, I heard you you were mentioning that PWS show that was coming up. Looks pretty good, man. Right?
Yeah, PWS, it looks all right.
Yeah, PWS is like a little funky. They get like good names and, you know, they throw together some good matches, but it gets a little nutty sometimes, right? I guess you heard, I heard you mention the Balls Mahoney incident.
Yeah, man. Yeah, throwing up. I was trying to come up with the gimmick of him firing T-shirts out to the audience.
I figured, I heard that.
You know, he'd make something good out of it. I have to wash the shirt when you get home, but hey, who cares?
I've seen a lot of shows before. I was at that Rahway show. I've been to a lot of wrestling shows, and I got to say, I never seen anything like that in my life before. I had a hard time from falling over laughing. Sometimes, you know, when you're at a show like that and you just see, I mean, that was just unbelievable. But that's how PWS is. Every PWS show I've ever been to, there's always been that element that's like, you know, that anything can happen. You know, real fast. Back at one of their New York shows, one of the matches on the card was Doink the Clown. The original.
Well, how could that go wrong?
The original Doink the Clown. Like, you know, sometimes that you see the TV clown. But this was the original Matt Bourne, Doink the Clown. And he was taking on Hacksaw Jim Duggan. And about 10 minutes into the match, things just got like really weird. You know, like Hacksaw was chasing Doink around the ring, and you would normally think, okay, well, this is part of the show. But then Doink kind of like jumped over the guardrail. Some words were said. There was like a couple of fuck yous thrown around, and then Doink ran back to the dressing room, and that was the end of the night. We never saw Doink again, and it turned out that there was some legitimate shit between these two guys, and back in the day from WWF days, there was some problems, and the two of them actually started to go at it for real.
Oh, wow.
And don't
you never know.
Yeah, that's what I mean. You know, there's always something going on in a PWS show. Those guys, it's like Mark's booking it and Mark's paying for it, but
right.
The guy that runs the show has like a good heart, Eric Tapout, and he's a true professional wrestling fan. So sometimes you get, you know, he puts together good matches. They don't always work out. Like, I mean, originally the last show was supposed to be Dave Richards versus Dan Moff, and Richards couldn't show, so they switched it to Dan Moff and Jerry Lynn, and Dan Moff showed up. He was in terrible shape. He was hurt. He couldn't wrestle. He wrestled like a 2-minute match, and that was the end of it. But they announced that it was supposed to be Teddy Hart versus Matt Hardy, and something, you know, obviously something went wrong with Teddy Hart. He couldn't make it.
Oh, that's strange. I never heard that before.
Yeah, it was
Teddy Hart not showing up.
I know, right?
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Only in indie wrestling.
Only, I know, right? Only in indie wrestling. I mean, it's not like it's WWE.
Yeah. Teddy.
So yeah, so the PWS show looks pretty good, but I'm excited to see the Dave Crist and the Jay Crist match.
Definitely.
Yeah, that should be good, right? Because the last time I caught them was at Excellent Adventure. They opened the show.
Right.
And you know what? Like, a lot of people, you know, this never gets brought up, but a lot of people miss that match. Like, it was a great match. I mean, I was there for it. I saw it. It was a really good match. But a lot of people missed it because it was such a long line to get in.
Yeah, it was an afternoon show and everything like that, right?
That's right. That's right, dude. And it was a long line to get in. I have a few friends that were like, fuck, I missed that match because the lines to get into the arena were just so long.
Yeah, I actually wasn't able to make that show. It was just doubleheader after doubleheader after doubleheader, and it was like it pretty much ran out of the ability to do full-day wrestling shows and get babysitters and everything like that. I was like, fuck, man. And I think if CZW would have been the night show, I would have attended that show, but having them be the afternoon show, it's like I can't do it as much as I would like to. It just, man. And, I mean, I saw it all on DVD, and they put on a hell of a show, but... Yeah. So,
yeah. You mean the Dave and the Jake,
Crist
match. Yeah. It was a lot of fun. It was for the opening match. It was very good. A lot of people probably didn't think that match was going to be much, but.
All right. Hold on 1 second. I got another call.
All right. Sure.
Hey, who's this?
Hello. This is Clark from Clifton, New Jersey.
Hey, what's going on?
Well, nothing really. I understand that you're having Dave Crist on the show tonight.
Yes, we're supposed to. Dave has actually been under the weather all week, so I'm really not sure where he's at this point. But
I gotta tell you, I've been a CZW fan since 2010, and I've only been to around 3 shows, but. One of them being in Union City. That was when WXW was teaming with them. They had one show, and then they had the other show. And, I've also been to the one in Voorhees recently. It was on February 11th. And, I was so impressed by that show. I go to so many shows, and, that one I was really, really impressed with. I drove 2 hours and 30 minutes to get there, and, it was really good, I was impressed by it. My favorite match of all, though, was definitely the Sami Callihan versus DJ Hyde, because I'm really, really enjoying that feud right now with DJ Hyde. He's being kind of like a, I know he's in charge of CZW, but I like how he's,
right.
how he's really being a bad guy, I'm really enjoying that. And, the fact that, when I saw Matt Tremont, come to the ring, and he came into the ring with that fork and was chasing it and tied after with the fork.
Right.
I thought that was really entertaining. And this Saturday, I can't wait to see Matt Tremont take on DJ Hyde, because just a feud that I'm really enjoying. I think one of the feuds that CZW is really trying to promote. There's also the Dave Crist versus Jake Crist. I don't know that much about these guys, but I know that at the Union City show, he did a really big dive onto John Moxley, now known as Dean Ambrose. And, that was pretty good. I'm really impressed, though, about John Moxley going into the WWE, because maybe he'll probably make a name for himself there. He's really good over there. He'll make it better. Really, I gotta be honest. John Moxley is one of the best wrestlers that was never really in Ring of Honor. He was only in Dragon Gate and Evolve, and that was good. But he really, I really would like to see him take on, either maybe Lord Tenzai, maybe. I know he wrestled CM Punk a few times in the
down
FCW. Florida.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
And I don't
know if I want any of those indie guys in the FCW taking on Lord Tenzai right now, because it's just going to be a quick match.
Yeah, I know. I mean, Lord Tenzai, I think for him right now would probably be his best bet. Maybe take on, like Mark Henry or the Big Show or something, you know. But
right.
That's about it. But I mean, Dean Ambrose, though. I just think he's gonna bring a really good character that's really no one's seen. You know what I mean? But
oh, definitely. He's got the time.
I mean, yeah, he does. He does. If it's anything I have respect for, it's definitely the CZW guys. You know, I mean, those guys put their bodies through hell. You know what I mean?
For sure.
You know, you have Rory Mundo at the last show, Danny Havoc body slamming each other on the thumbtacks. You know.
Right.
There's also Masada. You know, I remember when I was in Pro Wrestling Syndicate, I saw Masada slip off onto the ring, and he landed on that steel table. I saw him; he was in a lot of pain. You know what I mean? Really crazy to see all that
stuff.
He's
a tough guy, man.
Yeah, he's a pretty tough guy. You know, it's just, you know, it's a Friday night. There's nothing going on. I figured I'd just listen to you guys. You know, because there's nothing at all going on. You know, there's no baseball really. You know, there's no.
Right,
no rest.
Right.
I mean, there's TNA. I only watch the highlights of TNA. It's only what I watch. Because
there's highlights of TNA.
Well, there's highlights like the day after. There's highlights like online. You can watch them online. And,
I wonder if
they
chop that up.
Yeah, like they put them on YouTube. And I don't watch the full Raw. I don't watch full anything because it's all talk. You know what I mean? I want to see wrestling.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? So, I mean, I only order
cool,
the pay-per-views. But,
so
yeah,
you're
going to
be
at
Voorhees on Saturday, right?
Yep, I will. 2-hour road trip. It would be awesome. And,
it'd be well worth it. It's your first Best of the Best?
It's my first Best of the Best show. Yep, my first one ever.
Yeah, they never disappoint.
Yeah, I'm really, really excited for the aerial assault match too. Really excited. AR Fox. I'm really excited for him, you know.
Yep.
Definitely will.
Thanks.
And
thanks for calling in.
No problem. I'm really glad you guys are on the air tonight, you know, because I would have had nothing to do.
Yeah, I'm on every Thursday.
All right, man. Take care.
All right, man. Yep, you too.
Bye-bye.
That's Clark, man. I know Clark.
Cool.
You know what? He went to the. I've known him just through going. He said he was from Clifton, right? I'm from Lincoln Park, so that's not far away. I've seen him at like WSU shows, and I actually saw him down at the CZW show that was in Voorhees.
Yeah,
he went with his mom. So he's like a big fan of like independent wrestling. Nutty guy.
I mean, the more people that come out, the better. Can't see why not. 2-hour road trip. Yeah, it's pretty much standard stuff for me, you know, going to Philly. But this is actually a little bit shorter, so I'm all for it either way. But
not too bad. You know what? He brought up a pretty interesting point though about Masada at that PWS show, and Masada took on the Sheik, which was a match that a lot of people probably couldn't really figure out, being that it was like, you know, a PWS show is sort of, they aim it at like family, not like NWS, but it's like a family oriented crowd. So when they have a Masada come in, sometimes it's, you know, it's hard to understand. It's hard to take. And a lot of people didn't really understand. Plus the Sheik is, a lot of people probably didn't understand that nature, you know, the nature of that match. And a lot of people crapped all over, but you know, I thought it was an all right match, being, you know, what it was. It was in the middle of a nutty card. You know, I mean, when you open up a show with Balls Mahoney and Marty Jannetty, and Balls Mahoney is puking all over the front row,
projectile vomiting on the
When you pop a match in there like that, you put somebody as talented. I mean, Masada is one of the most talented guys on the independent wrestling. I mean, people, just, they don't give him credit.
Oh, yeah, he can wrestle.
That guy.
Anything.
Yeah, he's like tough as nails, that dude. Like, you know, I wonder, sometimes when I look at him, like, I wonder, like, what he does. I mean, everybody knows, you know, independent wrestling, you can't really make a living off of independent wrestling.
Yeah,
these guys all have full-time jobs someplace else. And I look at a guy like Masada, and I wonder, like, what does this guy do for a living? What is he?
I can't imagine.
Yeah, I mean, he's not working at a bank or working
not.
On Wall Street trading stocks. He probably,
right.
Like, when I'm thinking that this guy, like, you know, he's like a blacksmith.
Yeah, CCW bank robberies would be a lot more interesting if Masada was
sure.
behind the counter.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, really,
yeah.
Mr. Gage.
Gage walks in the front door, Masada jumps the counter, it's fucking on.
It's on. Shit just got real.
Street fight.
And it's all your money. They're fighting over your money.
Fucking briefcase on the line. It's on. Man.
That's outrageous.
I definitely miss Gage.
I do too. He was something else. I was late on the CZW bandwagon. I was late on the whole independent wrestling bandwagon.
Really?
But I was really, I mean, I got in like 2005, but mm-hmm. I never got in on the CZW bandwagon until a few years ago. And Gage was a guy that, like, when he went wild, you know, the first show I ever saw with him was Brett Lauderdale's, I can't remember the name of it. I had a few Jack and Coke, so my memory's bad to begin with, but it gets even worse. But it was Luchacore, and he took on Super Oprah, Oprah.
Shit.
And
yeah,
it
didn't
was
get
like,
after that show.
I remember Nick Gage's promo. That was actually the very first time I've ever seen Gage, was his promo. And he's like, Super Oprah.
He's talking about loading the trucks and shit, yeah.
Yeah, he's like, I don't even know what the fuck a Super Oprah is.
Yeah.
And that was just a crazy match. But,
I'm sure.
I caught him at it. I'm sorry, again.
I was going on about Gage. Go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, you know, I caught him at an NWA Force One show when he was working with MLJ, and MLJ works for CZW.
Right.
MLJ is like the commissioner of NWA Force One, and Nick Gage was his bodyguard. And I got a chance to meet Nick Gage and just talk with him for a few minutes, and I was, you know, from doing CZW shows and just seeing how, like, just really how, like, off the wall and crazy he was. He's almost frightening.
Yeah.
You know, when you're near him and when things are getting a little wacky and he's grabbing chairs and swinging chairs and chairs are flying and he's, you know, just fists are flying, you get, like, frightened. Like, he's a frightening guy.
Yeah.
And to talk to him and ask him, you know, hey, can I get some pictures of you and do some, like, promo pictures of him, it was just unbelievable, like, how soft-spoken and what a nice guy he was.
Oh, he's super cool, dude.
Yeah, it was really, like, it catches you off guard to see, you know, just to see that this guy that's just so wild, but, like, soft-spoken when he's not in character.
Oh, yeah, he just flipped that switch.
Yeah, it was heartbreaking to see, like, and especially like right around Christmas time, it was heartbreaking to see that he was in trouble.
Oh yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Scary shit to see, you know, Gate to Space as a wanted guy, and yeah, it was crazy stuff. But yeah, back to the PWS thing too. I just noticed their next show is actually May 4th. And it's Friday, May 4th, and I just read earlier that Matt Hardy's court date is actually May 4th. And he's booked against Colt Cabana that day.
In, like, the main event.
Yeah, one of them. Yep.
Wow.
So I was kind of wondering how that's going to happen. Well, like I said, he might just have that Jeff Hardy, you know, trial belaying skill. Because Jeff Hardy put off a fucking trial for at least a year, probably a year and a half. Did he even get sentenced yet, Jeff?
Yeah, I don't know. Probably not.
I don't even know.
Yeah. Wow. So I didn't read that. That's sad. Because you know what? Like, Cap Out, the guy that runs PWS, you know, he doesn't burn anybody. He's a nice guy. He's just trying to do it. And you know what? Rahway, you know, I came into it as a big Jersey All-Pro fan. And was Jersey All-Pro's building.
Yeah,
you know, the Rahway Rec, and they did a great job, you know, when they had their regime. They don't have the regime now. They got it, like, you know, it's ridiculous. It's awful what they have now.
Yeah.
The regime back in the day was tremendous. It was a machine, and it was unbelievable. And, you know, I was really, like, Evolve. When Evolve came in, I was big with them.
Yeah,
and they couldn't do it. They couldn't, you know, the first show they had there, they packed like maybe 300-400 people in, and it looked good.
Yeah, that was the first show.
Yeah, was it about like 300-400 people there?
Yeah, it was decent.
Yeah, yeah, it wasn't 1,000. It, like, you know, like when Jersey Old Pro did their anniversary show, and they had a lot of CZW guys in there, that was the biggest crowd I ever saw. Like when they had Necro, and
right.
My memory is bad. When they had, I think, the Hate Club, they packed 1,000 people in there easy. That was a big deal.
Jersey All Pro definitely know how to, you know, put some people in that building. Whatever fell apart, but Evolve, it was weird when they started out. I went because I was kind of intrigued by some of the differences that they were talking about, a lot of different this, different that. And I think they went too far different to draw the crowd. I think they scared away a lot of the, because it was, and
like
even,
the
even being band. There, yeah, even being there, it was fucking weird. They cut out ring entrances. There was no ring entrance music, nothing. People just walked out, and they're like, "There's this guy."
Yeah.
And then
there's
that
without
guy.
Without music.
Yeah.
Right.
And there was like really no pause either. Like the two guys pretty much followed each other to the ring and then wrestled.
Yeah, they just...
And then immediately
a
guy jumped. Yeah.
There was, you know, that was one of the things that they stressed. There's two reasons behind that. The first reason was because, like, at that time, like, Ring of Honor had just moved on, and they were starting to become a bigger, you know, a bigger deal with the television, and they couldn't use ring entrances anymore. Like, they had to change everybody's ring entrance. So Gabe Sapolsky figured that they would just use standard, you know, like blase ring entrance music. Like everybody came out to the same music. It was like Nintendo. Yeah, it was like Nintendo music. So they wouldn't have to worry about RAM. Maybe they figured they were going to get so big that they wouldn't have to worry about it later. But then they basically like centered it around competition. And that was one of the things that like they instilled in the guys. Like, you know, that was one of the things like laid out on the paperwork. You know, there was no circle in the ring. You came out, you went right to the ring. You weren't allowed any mic time at all, period. It was, like, forbidden. Unless if it was, you know, noted. Like, Lenny Leonard would go in the ring and they would do, like, a little promo.
Yeah, it was more weird shit. It was just all right, now you're done wrestling. Guy jumps in the ring. He's like, so, I feel when he kicked you in the face just now. Like, actually, it happened.
They tried to treat it like it was real, you know. They tried to treat it like, you know, like one of the things that they pointed to was like Mike Tyson, you know. Like if you went to bite the ear off your competitor or whatever, you would be disqualified. Well, then that was it. You know, there was no, you couldn't talk back to the official. You couldn't put your hands on the official. You know, in a way, it's commendable because nobody was doing it. So I can see that they were trying to do. But what, you know, would it work? Like you said, like, you know, it didn't, you know, it didn't reach out to you.
Right.
But, you know,
it was a good card. It was actually a good show. Like I enjoyed the show very much, but I still left going, that was awkward.
it was weird. Awkward. It was very awkward, but it was fun. I mean, for me, it was fun. You know, it was, because I was, you know, I was close to it and I was very, you know, I was hopeful for it. they're
just like imagine like meeting a chick and everything goes well and then you end up, you know, you hook up with her, go back, she just blows your mind. And she's like, all right, I gotta go, pulls like a clown mask out of her purse and fucking walks out your door. What the fuck was that just now? Everything was good. What the fuck did she just... that a fucking clown mask? Just like something
was that real?
About it left you feeling weird. Like, what the fuck?
Yeah, like,
did
damn.
Did the sound system break? Like, what just... did, I don't know. Like, what the fuck was that about?
Yeah.
And then they had... at the time, I didn't know who the fuck Larry Dallas was. And they had him just, like, standing ringside. And just
Well, not even ringside, right? He was on the other side. He was on the barrier, like, on the other side of the barrier.
Yeah, and then he was just kind of standing there making, like, jerk-off comments the whole show, and you're just like, who is this fucking guy?
Who is this guy?
And then eventually, you know, he ended up doing a lot of managing and stuff, and I know who he is now, but it was just like, what the fuck is this? They're not even acknowledging him. Like, the guys on the ring aren't even looking at this fucking guy, and he's just, like, playing his own show on the sideline. Like, dude,
I don't know, do you follow Sammy Callahan on Twitter? He had some funny comments today about Larry Dallas. I was pissing in my pants. It was Sammy Callahan was, you know, he tweeted that he was watching Samoa Joe, like old, you know, classic Ring of Honor Samoa Joe versus I don't remember who it was, cuz
Kobashi,
you know,
Kobashi.
And there's Larry Dallas in the front row, and Jesus Christ, he looked like a douchebag. Like, even back then, he looked like a douchebag.
Yeah.
That's outrageous.
Cool.
But now he's going to Japan. I don't know if he's paying him his own way or...
Larry Dallas is going to Japan?
Apparently he's going to, he's going to Japan. I saw Sugar Dunkerton tweeted that...
good for him.
Yeah, that he's going to Japan. I mean, you know, whether it's... Yeah, I don't know. I mean, when you think about, like, when, like, these flights and stuff, like, Sammy you can see because people are going to be interested in seeing Sammy, but, like, how many tickets do you have to sell in order to pay your flight? You know what I mean? Like, if you're a competitor or whatever, you're flying to Japan and or any place, Europe, Germany.
Right.
And, you know, the people that are flying you in, they're expecting that you're going to sell tickets to cover that flight. Like, how many tickets would you have to sell to cover a flight for a Larry Dallas? Or
I can't imagine.
It's an interesting proposition.
Yeah, I mean, however you got there, cool. You know, got nothing against the guy, so.
No,
whatever,
yeah, no, not at all. Larry, he's a nice guy. He really is. I mean, he's an awesome dude. But he catches a lot of shit on the internet because, you know, he was, popularity breeds contempt.
Yeah.
He draws a lot of heat from people on the, from people on the internet. There's people that break his balls bad on Twitter.
Yeah. That's going to happen.
Yeah, but he's doing his thing. He's living his dream. I remember going to, like, those early Evolve shows, like you were just saying that you went to, and seeing Larry Dallas with his shirt off, putting the ring up. So the kid has definitely put his time in, like, I mean, you know, several shows, like, where he's out there busting his ass, sweating, putting the ring together.
Sure.
Just to be able to get on the show, so...
Yeah,
he's definitely putting his time in. Hey, real fast, because I don't want to tie up your show, dude. I know.
That's okay. I'm kind of fucking struggling anyway. Fucking looking for content, so.
I don't know if you mentioned it earlier, but it was the 1 year passing of Larry Sweeney. I don't know if you're a fan of Sweeney. Like,
no, definitely.
Yeah, Sweeney.
Did a little tribute show for him last year. Yeah.
Oh, did you? Did you do it?
Yeah, he was.
That dude, like, you know what? I only met him a few times, but that dude was like electrifying. There's no other way to describe it. It was, you know, like some of the stuff I go through. Like last night, I got hammered. I was like hammered, dude. And I was on Facebook, and I went to his page, Alex Weibrow. I don't, you know, I was friends with him on Facebook. I don't know if you're not friends with him, I don't know if you can see it. But
Right, right.
You go to you go to his Facebook page. If you can see it without being friends, I would suggest that, like, anybody go, because the dude was just like, I look at him and I see, like, how many, like, just like how many lives did this guy live? You know, at whatever, he graduated high school, he went to India, and there's pictures of this shit on his Facebook, like black and white pictures of him in India wrestling Indians, like in, like, New Delhi, India. And it's old school black and white shit with like 100 Indians standing around while two people, like, actually have like a wrestling match. And it's not like the shit, you know, this is like legitimate shit. You will see pictures of Sweeney in his underwear, like in his underpants, fighting Indians, like wrestling. And like that is where he, you know, I've read that. That's where he, like, he was inspired to come back and be a professional wrestler. He came back and he hooked up with Quackenbush and started to train. And this guy was just an amazing dude. I mean, there's pictures of him holding, like, babies, like Indian, like little Indian babies, like, you know, children. And a lot of people, like, don't know that, like, Sweeney was, like, you know, he was a teacher. He trained people, you know, he helped out with, like, you know, if you wanted to take your SATs, if you were prepping for your SATs so you could, you know, go to college. You know, that was one of his side gigs, that he, like, trained people, you know, he, like, helped them out, taught them, and prepped them for their SATs for college, you know, for college exams. And, you know, like, as I'm looking through this, and like I said, I was hammered last night, dude. As I'm looking through these pictures, I'm thinking, like, how insignificant my life is. Like, how much, like, I mean, you know, things that, like, this guy has done in his lifetime. And I'm like, man, I've you know, barely left the state of New Jersey, you know. It's really just, like, mind-boggling that this guy would take his own life. It's just something else.
Another dude that had so much charisma, it was unbelievable. I saw, you know, just his, you know, stuff that he was doing in CZW for a while, and yeah, he definitely, I mean, he had that type of TV personality where you're like, oh, you know, why is this guy not signed somewhere? I mean,
why isn't he signed?
Unbelievable, you know, just really, really great personality, and just the way he put himself out there, he looked like a fucking star.
He did.
He definitely
did. Superstar. Totally. And he acted like one. And it's just amazing. It really does. It speaks to you, like, about, you know, about the, you know, the just, like, mental problems, right? I mean, apparently he had, you know, he had some really bad mental issues, and he was bipolar, and, you know, it's just crazy, like, I can't understand, like, how someone as popular as him, not just with wrestling, but, I mean, as popular, like, that's what I mean. If you look through some of these pictures that are on his Facebook page, where he was, like, a blacksmith. I mean, unbelievable shit. There's, like, pictures of him where he's, like, shoeing horses. the lives that he lived, he was a carnival harker.
Yeah.
And you look at these some of these things that it's, like, the amount of people that he touched in his life. Like, you look at Eddie Kingston. Eddie Kingston is, like, you know, one of the baddest, hard-ass individuals. If you've ever talked to Kingston, he's a man's man.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, there's no, like, no two ways around it. I mean, so the shit that Kingston does, but when you talk to him about Sweeney, you know, it's like, he'll cry.
Oh, believe me, I know. I had Kingston on, actually. You know, I've been, you know, fan friends, I guess you'd call it, with Kingston for years and years. We see each other at shows and we just bullshit forever.
He's an awesome guy.
We just had great times talking and all that. But it was really hard to connect with schedules with him. He seems to work Thursday nights, and it took me a while. But the two occasions that I had him at first One was the J.C. Bailey tribute, and one was the Larry Sweeney tribute I did. Now, Larry, I didn't get as many people as I would have liked to, but one who was definitely there was definitely Eddie Kingston. Yeah, hugely emotional on both accounts, and, yeah, I could definitely vouch for that.
Yeah.
Finally ended up doing just a, you know, a different show on Tuesday just to get Eddie Kingston on, and I finally got the interview. But, yeah, I mean, he was definitely there for that, and he definitely had a huge, huge impact on Eddie's life.
Oh, yeah, so that's what I mean. Like, that's what I don't understand, is that somebody that had such an impact on, like, Chris Hero, on Claudio Castagnoli, on Bryce Remsburg, on, you know, Shakarson, like, all
yeah.
these guys, Quackenbush, his sister is a beautiful person, his brother. Like, how did this guy get to this point where he just, you know, where the only option was to kill himself?
I have no idea.
It doesn't make any sense. It doesn't make any sense at all. But, you know, like, I'm not bipolar. You're not bipolar, so we can't, you know, we can't speak to it, you know. It doesn't compute. It doesn't, like, make any sense.
No, definitely not.
And he was somebody that was like you said before, man. He was just like he was a magnet for, like, for, you know, the microphone, for the camera. The guy just opened up and like went into his zone. But
yeah, definitely, man.
Yeah. So Sweet and Sour, you know, was just a fantastic individual. One of the things about Kingston that, like, I don't know, we haven't talked a lot, so I don't know about, you said you've like fan friend with Kingston.
One of
the things I'll never forget hearing out of Kingston's mouth as a fan, you know, standing out on the street, listening to him, was, we were, you know, it wasn't me. It was, you know, I was just like a third party listening in. But one of the things that the conversation was UFC. And I remember Kingston saying that if UFC was around when he first started out, he would have never gotten into professional wrestling. He would have been
right.
He would have been training for UFC. That's a profound statement, man. It's a testament to, like, the badass of Kingston, like the badass.
Undertaker had said that shit himself in interviews.
Undertaker?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Same type of statement. He said more or less, like, he's too old for that shit right now, but he's a huge fan of it, and if it was what it was now back then, he would have just fucking trained in that. So, I mean, I'm sure it would have been a lot of guys, you know, back then.
A lot of guys, definitely.
Yeah.
Definitely. What do you think, the whole, like, I'm a fan of Undertaker, I'm not a fan of Undertaker.
Right.
What did you think about, like, I don't know. See, I'm not a huge UFC fan, but I watch all their pay-per-views. Like, I don't
right.
know, like, the backstory of all these guys. But when Lesnar lost the title, I think it was to Cain Velasquez.
Right.
And
that wasn't the last one. That was the Overeem guy, right?
Yeah. Oh, was it Overeem?
Overeem was the last guy he fought when he retired.
Yeah, no, it was before that. It was when he lost to
Kane.
It was, like, right after he lost, like, the championship, and he was on his way out, and The Undertaker kind of got in his face, and the two of them had that little exchange. I thought that was, like, comical, you know? It was like, dude, this dude just got his ass kicked, and this is the place
for,
like...
I think it was kind of work shoot.
Yeah, I don't know, though, man, because, like that stuff doesn't go on. That's one thing, like, you have to say about, like, Dana White. Like, he doesn't put up with any of that shit. You remember when Lesnar, after he beat, who was it, Frank Mir?
Yeah,
He got on the microphone, he's like, I'm going to go climb on top of my wife and drink a Miller Lite because Bud Light would never do anything for me. And
That's
one of the things that, like, Dana White, like, didn't put up with. Dana White doesn't put up with any of that shit. He doesn't want it to be like WWE. He doesn't want any, like, that shit talking or any of that stuff.
Well, I know Taker was he was a huge fan of it, and Dana White was giving him tickets and everything like that, so it was more or less commonplace for him to be in attendance. And I think, obviously, you know, Vince would have no problems with a guy like Taker putting out the feelers to see if Lesnar wanted to come back.
Oh, yeah, that's
what
true.
I mean, like that. Not even worked within UFC, but more or less, hey, man, you'll be right up there. Throw a comment on them. They'll probably have you on camera because you're a notable name.
I agree with that.
Just throw a shit at them.
I agree with that 100%, man. I totally agree with that.
You see, a little shit happens. The guy gets his ass rocked a few more times, and, wow, look where he's at. That's... not shocking,
I agree.
You know?
Yep, I agree with that 100%. Then, yeah.
Yeah, it wasn't a full promo or anything like that. He said, "I think you want to do it," or something like that. And
but I don't think Brock had anything. I don't think that Lesnar had any idea that that shit was going on.
No,
but I mean,
then
I
he got his ass
you.
Kicked another time or two, and you know, all of a sudden he's like, "You know what? They're still calling."
So do you think, like, you know, a lot of people are going on about, like oh, I don't see the end result for Brock Lesnar. Like, I don't know. I'm thinking, like, the end result is, like, Undertaker-Brock Lesnar at the next WrestleMania. I mean, is that not the biggest match you can have?
I hope the fuck not, man. Taker's got to be done, man. Now he's looking like a fat Chuck Liddell. Now, I don't know if that's part of the hype up that makes him.
You think that's it, though? Like, for Taker, he's done?
For WrestleMania, I think if anything, they take him to Survivor Series where he started out and they do a big end game with him there. If they want to do it, him and Brock, go ahead. If they want to do it, him and
Survivor
Kane,
Series.
I think that would make more sense. Yeah, if him and Kane did it at Survivor Series and made that his... But both of them retired.
Yeah, but
you don't think
that, like, Brock Lesnar and Undertaker, like, after all that, like, even, like, after that pay-per-view with, like, Velasquez and after Lesnar lost the title, like, that was a hot story, right? Like, that was, everybody was thinking, oh, wow, is it going to be Undertaker and Brock Lesnar at WrestleMania? And then turned out it was Triple H. So this was last year, right? Not this past year, but the year before
that.
Right.
Bottom line is Taker could barely move anymore, and it took him an entire year of sitting on his ass, not working a single match until the following Mania. Like, this isn't a guy who's just ready to work fucking Brock Lesnar throwing him all over the ring. Like, I don't think he really wants that.
I don't know, though, man. Like, I see what you're saying, but I don't think it really took, like, the entire year for him. Because look at Flair. I mean, Flair can still go at, like, his age. Like, Taker could probably go. It's just that, like, he doesn't want to. He doesn't want to. Like, he could do, like, a once-a-year match.
Well,
to be honest with you, I'm not a big fan of Undertaker or Triple H. So that wasn't really, like, I didn't even really pay much attention to their match at WrestleMania.
Yeah.
I mean, we had a bunch of people over, so we had more fun just, like, you know, shooting the shit and doing our thing than just, you know, paying attention to the matches. But, like, Taker and Triple H, I guess it was good. But I'm not a big fan of either one of those guys. I mean, like, the story was there. With Shawn Michaels and stuff. That vignette, you know, that they did. I don't know if you caught it last Monday or I don't know what it was that they did with, like, all of the superstars like John Cena and CM Punk and all those guys, that they were like, you know, saying that it was the best match of WrestleMania of all time. It was a crock of shit. It wasn't like that. It was better than Andre and Hogan and Steamboat and Savage.
I don't know, man.
Yeah. I didn't think it was that great, to be honest with you. But, like I said,
Yeah, man. I don't know. I don't think Taker's got it like that. I don't think he's hanging around for a whole shitload more WrestleManias. Taker's got to be put over no matter what. They're not going to break his streak. And, you know, you saw what happened on last Monday. Brock busted fucking seen his face open because he's still got that UFC in his mind.
Yeah,
and shit.
Yeah,
I don't
really,
think
right?
Undertaker wants to get looking, you know, made look like a fucking fool in a WrestleMania and Brock slip and bust his fucking mouth open. I don't think that would work as a... And what if that's his last one? Like, hey, you should have just wrapped it up with Taker or Triple H. You tried to make you look good. You know, like, fuck, that would be brutal.
That's outrageous. Were you watching that last Monday when
yeah,
you busted
I watched
him open?
It. Yeah, I watched it.
What was the thought?
Dude, at first I was like, that's a fucking work. And then, you know, watched it a little bit more. I was like, no, wait a minute.
When Cena was busted open, and it looked like he knocked his tooth out, or he busted his lip open, maybe?
Yeah, I don't... He definitely busted his lip open. Like, when they showed it in slow motion, you saw he connected. I was like, oh, shit.
Looked kind of cool, right?
Yeah.
The Linda McMahon, Bennett, you know. Because you don't see too much blood anymore, so...
Nah, but that shit was not planned, man.
Yeah,
first
no,
I was
not,
like,
not at all.
Work, something, and I was like, someone's catching heat off of that, because he was not supposed to hit him in the fucking mouth.
Yeah, he totally hit him in the mouth. Like, that was the first shot. Like, I mean, when Cena went down and Lesnar was on top of him, and he threw that first right hook, that was like, boom, all right, he busted him open. He knew, I don't know, like, if you watch it closely, the second shot, like, after he hit him with the first one, he knew that he fucking popped him. So the second one looks fake. The second one looks fake as hell. I mean, I don't know, like, just, I didn't rewind it and sit there and study it, but the first shot, he popped him in the mouth, dude. There's no two.
Yeah.
The second shot.
And you gotta
shot,
hope that he doesn't do a whole shitload more of that, because, I mean, they left it to a trickle in that fucking, supposed to be a war between The Undertaker and Triple H. Fucking Brock comes in, two interactions, and he fucking splits someone's mouth open. Like, they're not trying to go the blood route in the WWE right now, so that's
something
I don't think was very welcome.
Yeah, no, you're right. You're right, 100%. Yeah, especially with Linda running for Senate, they don't want any of that. But, you know, why are they even doing that, to be honest? I mean, I couldn't figure that out. I mean, it was like they called out The Rock, and then Brock came out. It was a little off. It was a little weird. I mean, it was cool.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I don't know where they're going with it.
Oh, I mean, as a fan, I'm cool with it, because fuck it.
Yeah, it's Brock
Lesnar. I don't give a fuck. I'm tired of the stale shit, so whatever gets it moving. If you got to bust Cena's face open weekly, I'm all for it.
Yeah, you don't like Cena, right? I mean,
I mean, he's a good company guy, but he's never done anything exciting that's really popped me or anything.
Yeah, I agree with you.
He's a company guy. He'll sell T-shirts. He'll do everything you fucking tell him to do, but exciting is not one of his trademarks.
Yeah, I agree 100%. You know, like, it's hard to dispute, you know, the make-a-wish shit and overall being a nice guy. I remember going to a show in Newark, New Jersey, and seeing him sitting, like when the bus pulled up with all the guys on it, he was, like, sitting in the front seat, like, all the way up by the bus driver.
Fucking shit, like the kid that doesn't want to get beat up in the back of the bus.
Yeah, like, you know, like, cozy.
Don't sit by the bus
driver.
That's
exactly right. That's exactly what I thought. I'm like, you know, nice guy, but, you know, just... You know, just doesn't appeal to the Matt Tremont in me. So what's going on with Matt Tremont and DJ Hyde in Voorhees?
I don't know. They're gonna wrestle or something.
Is it gonna be just I was thinking that, you know, because correct me. They're not billing it as a death match, but they're billing it as like a violent, ultra-violent matchup of some sort.
Yeah, I have
DJ
no
Hyde
idea,
versus
man.
Matt Tremont.
Something like that. Listen, Dave, he sent me a message, and he said he tried to call, so I'm going to try to call him back.
Right,
I've never dialed out, so, but thanks for calling, man. I'll see you on Saturday.
Yeah, definitely. Hey, thanks for taking the call. I love listening to the show, so I just wanted to call in. And
not a problem, bro.
Got carried away. But,
no problem.
Be good, Jay.
More
good luck, dude. All looking
right,
forward to hearing it, man.
All right.
Peace.
All right. Let me see how this works. Never done this before, so see if this works at all. No, it has failed. They're not answered. Try it again. And, no, it's failed. They're not answered. So, I got two attempts, and, nothing. So, we'll see if, Dave calls back in. Sent me a message, said he was in the host queue. I saw no number there. I don't know. I have no idea what goes on. It's crazy. So, let me, I guess I'll play another track, give it a little more time. I'll give it a whole lot of time, but I'll see what's up. Let me see yours.
You know, one day I got a call from the ghost. He told me I had to get on this conference call to discuss a little business with him and the homie Rosé. You know, a situation transpired where a nigga had to get dealt with a little harshly. Yeah.
Root for the villain and shoot with no feeling. Like audio tool, yeah, the crew is top villain. Blowing the Dutch in the coupe with no feeling. Invisible bully like the Gooch when I'm illin'. Cash too green. Take to the toilet like a Michael Corleone in the bathroom scene. Young black Vito chopping rap kilos. Clap torpedoes, stack Doritos. Green and Mako, sipping the mojito.
Dave.
Hey, what's up, man? Sorry about that. I got a little carried away at practice.
Cool, man. Finally got you on. Just glad to have you. So,
dude, I apologize wholeheartedly, man. It's my fault.
It's all right, man. So anyway, get right into it. I want to talk about a lot of stuff, your career and everything. Had your brother on, so figured we'd jump on some of the stuff that he was talking about. Getting started, he said, pretty much a big part of you guys getting started was you physically welding a ring together for you guys to do the thing with.
That is absolutely correct. I have the largest welding project in Tecumseh High School history.
How did that come about? Like, where'd you get the steel? Where did you?
I took 3 years of welding in high school. It's actually, I got certified to be a welder, but I decided to not do that and, you know, decided to pursue professional wrestling. How we came about doing it, though, is there was about five of us, myself, Dustin Reyes, my brother, John Murray, and one other cat. We actually saved our lunch money for an entire year. The year before, we saved our lunch money. And I talked my welding instructor into buying the material for us. And there we have it. He bought the material. I welded it up, took it to Dustin Reyes' barn, and the rest is history.
Wow, that's fucking awesome. I mean, what actually had you just go, hey, you know what, I'm just going to go ahead and build one of these fucking rings?
Well, we went to a lot of independent shows, and I saw, like, how it was structured. I saw how it was put together. Actually, before I was allowed to actually weld it up, I had to create a set of blueprints before my welding teacher would actually let me do it. So we had to make sure that it was structurally stable and structural sound.
Cool. So how was it, you know, training and everything? How was it coming up with your brother training at the same time? Was it harder because it was competitive, or was it easier to, you know, learn beside someone?
Well, you know, like, the ridiculous thing is you know, myself and the guys who we trained with, we were so close because, like, at that point in time, I don't know if my brother got into this or not, but my mother was an alcoholic.
No,
and she didn't really pay much attention to us. So my dad was always on the road because he was a construction worker. He actually built bleachers for different colleges and such. So pretty much all we had was, like, each other.
Uh-huh.
So we just pretty much, you know, we treated each other like family. It was competitive, but on the same token, you know, it wasn't competitive to the point where we wanted anyone to falter, or we wanted anyone to to not make it. We are competitive to the level of, hey, come on, you know, you get off your ass, let's do it. Come on, we can get it, we can get it, we can get it, until everyone got it. So it was like we are competitive, but we are more worried about the group as a whole as opposed to individuals.
Cool. So you guys kind of helped each other through the whole thing.
Exactly. And it made it a whole lot easier with my brother being there because, you know, it was like, you know, pretty much growing up, I always took care of my brother. Like, not to get too personal or anything, but
right.
When I was 13 is when my mom became a serious alcoholic. And when she became a serious alcoholic, she pretty much stopped taking care of us. So I had to get a job to support me and my brother, like me and Jay. I supported us in school. I supported us as far as, you know, getting school clothes, materials, school fees, and so on and so forth.
Wow.
So it's kind of crazy.
Yeah. I know you guys did. I'm jumping around a lot because I'm just not that great chronologically or whatever. But first time I saw you guys was Ring of Honor. And I believe that was your first run. And how did your first run in Ring of Honor go?
In all honesty, like, I learned a whole lot. I wish that I had the mentality that I have now going into Ring of Honor.
Yeah.
Back in those days, you know, all I was worried about was making other people look good, not really worried about, you know, getting any of my shit in. I just wanted to have a good match. I wanted to make the other guys that I was in the ring with, you know, shine. And, you know, I was just trying to shine myself.
That kind of came to an end with a big injury you had, right?
Yeah, I tore my ACL and my meniscus.
Was it a specific spot or something that happened that all of that came about? Or?
Yeah, actually, we were in Indianapolis for Insanity Pro Wrestling. We were wrestling Chris Hero and Claudio Castagnoli at the time. And Hero got me up on his shoulders. And you know the slam he does where he pops you forward? And, you know, he just slams you right in front of him. It just shot my knee out.
Oh, wow.
That was probably 5 minutes into the match, and, you know, I took heat and went another about 20, 25 minutes.
Wow, shit. How long did it take you to recover from that?
Actually, at that point in time, wrestling was all that I did. So my insurance would only cover so much, and I had to come up with the first $5,000 of it. So I had to continue wrestling for another year before I actually had enough money saved up to get surgery. And then after I actually had surgery, it took me about 10 months.
Shit. Wow. The second time you guys were in Ring of Honor, what could you say about that?
In all honesty, it was very confusing. Like, we kept getting booked, we kept getting, we kept getting all these opportunities, and then right before the show would happen or right before the weekend would come up, we'd get canceled off.
Right.
You know, he gave us the excuse that we were, that they were overbooked. So at that point in time, it became very frustrating and just very, very confusing because it's like, you know, when he talks to us, he wants to use us, he enjoys us. And it was also confusing over the fact that one town we'd be heel, the next time we'd be babyface, and then we'd come back to that town where we were babyface, and we would be a heel. So,
yeah, there was no turn or anything, right?
Yeah, it was just like we were in St. Louis or the it was close to St. Louis. I don't remember, you know, what the town's actually called, but it's obviously not in St. Louis. But we were there twice. First time we were there, we wrestled the All Night Express. We were baby faces. The next night, we did like a tag team, like gauntlet type thing, and we were heel. So there was no rhyme, no reason. In Nashville, we were heels. In Dayton, we were baby faces. In Detroit, we were baby faces, but then the next time we were in Detroit, we were heels. So it just became very confusing, and it became just frustrating.
Right. Yeah, I can imagine. Well, IPW is pretty much your home fed. How does your entrance go to that? And you know,
actually, to be completely honest, Heartland was the was our home fed.
Okay.
We came up in Heartland, but you know, to get to IPW, we actually wrestled a guy by the name of Hillbilly Jed, Joey the Kid Owens, and Scotty Vortex. We wrestled with, I believe Drake came down to HWA a couple times, and they saw us.
Okay.
And they got us hooked up with the booking there.
Alright. How's been your time, you know, working with IPW over the years? So it's been about 8 years, right?
Yeah, it's been really good. I've really enjoyed myself. I've learned a lot from the guys who I've been in the ring with, Mike and Greg and any, you know, anybody else that was a owner of the company at whatever point in time. They were just always really good. They always took care of us.
Right.
Actually, the funny thing is when I went out with a knee injury, IPW was one of the only places that actually got a hold of me to see how I was doing. They were like the only fed that actually cared. But
right.
At that point in time, HWA had shut down and the new owners hadn't taken over yet. So, but out of all the other places that I worked consistently, they're the only ones that actually, you know, they gave a shit.
Shit. JCW, how'd you get in there, and you know, what was it like working for those guys?
Madman Pondo actually hooked us up with it. We worked some IWA East Coast shows. He goes, "Hey, the Clowns are in Columbus. I know you guys live in Dayton. If you guys want to come check it out, come check it out." We wrestled there originally as the Irish Airborne against the Haters, Vito and Sal. Or it wasn't Sal. It was Vito and why can't I think of the other Tomaselli name right now?
Brandon.
Brandon Tomaselli, and
okay.
we did something where we won the titles, but it was, you know, they swerved us, and then they got the pin on us. I guess we pinned the Illegal Man, and then they over-switched it or whatever. And Jay and Shaggy was like, "Dude, you guys are the shit. We got this idea that if you guys would be, you know, willing to do it." And we were like, "Okay, yeah, we're down. Fuck, you know, anything to pay us, I'm down." And then just being there, like, just the group of guys that they always bring in, you always learn. It's always a great learning experience. Like, a lot of guys have negative things to say about Raven, but in all honesty, like, I learned a lot from Raven. I mean, there's
right.
a couple times where he's upset me, where it's like, you know, he's treated us like little kids, but for the most part, Raven's really, you know, taught us a lot about wrestling. So on one hand, you know, he was always, like, rude and kind of, like, you know, just treated us like children. But on the other
yeah.
hand, you know, once we had a few matches with him and he trusted us, he opened up to us and just taught us a bunch. And Bull Payne, Bull Payne's another one that's just, he's an amazing fellow. Like, Bull is just an amazing dude. He's taught us so much throughout the years in wrestling, and I'm so grateful for him and his tutelage and his knowledge.
Yeah, he's a veteran.
Yeah.
Sure. Well, you brought up the Tomasellis, and your brother had touched on something, really didn't go any further into it, but you guys worked IWA, and then it seemed when you left, apparently the Tomasellis were taking shots at you. What happened there?
Well, we left because at that point in time, Ring of Honor had some sort of beef with IWA. And there was a big mass email where Gabe was just like, "Hey, I'm not telling you not to work it, but I'm asking you guys, you know, think about what you're doing in Ring of Honor." So we were just like, it's easy because Ian just kept screwing us over money. So we're like, fuck it.
Uh-huh.
It's not going to work for Ian. The whole bit with the Tomasellis, we're in Ring of Honor Dayton. We just had our first dark match there. We actually came in with Nigel, and Nigel, you know, put us over. They're like, "Hey, this is Dave and Jay. You know, they've been in contact with you." And he goes, "Yeah, I know you're talking about. Dreamer put you guys over. You guys got a dark match tonight. 6 minutes. Go do your thing." So we went out there. We went out there and wrestled. We're supposed to leave that night for Jersey to wrestle for Feinstein. And the Tomasellis
okay.
got hooked up with it. So, you know, Terry and Gabe was just like, hey, we want to keep using you guys. We would love to use you guys in Cleveland tomorrow, but we know you're booked for Feinstein. So you can either work for Feinstein and never work for us, or you can work for us and make some money. So that's a no-brainer.
Yeah.
We saw how many shows Feinstein did. I mean, no stab at Feinstein or whatever, but that's just the way that whole thing went down. And then the Tomasellis got angry with us. And, you know, come to find out, they wanted us to drive all the way to Jersey from Dayton, Ohio for no pay. So, you know, at first it was a little bit of pay. It was like, yeah, you know, you're going to get your trans covered, but that's about it. So we're like, okay, cool, it's an opportunity. But then as the day kept getting closer and closer, it was like the number just kept getting smaller and smaller and smaller. And we found out that we were just there to get squashed.
Wow. So, well, then you made the right call.
You know, sometimes you got to look out for yourself.
Definitely. Now, when Jake got into CZW, it took you a while for you to show up in CZW. What was the delay there?
Well, first off, I'm an asshole.
Jake kind of led on to that.
Yeah, I'm an asshole. So my reputation isn't necessarily the best. You know, I kind of have the reputation of just telling it how it is.
Right.
And it was a mixture of that, and it was a mixture of my brother not going to bat for me, which is, you know, leading us to here. It took me getting a hold of somebody, and it took me, you know, trying to get down there. When he's my brother, he should have went to bat for me, but he didn't. You know,
right.
I can't tell you how many times I went to bat for him. I mean, hell, in the third grade, I got stabbed and left in the fucking gutter. So my brother wouldn't. I mean, how many brothers do you know that would take a box cutter to the back three times for their brother? So, I mean, I just look at it throughout the past. I've always took care of him. And if this one little thing, all you had to do is say, you know, hey, you know, I got a brother named Dave. He's amazing, but he didn't do it for me. He didn't go to bat. He just looked out for himself. So it took me making my own noise, and it took me, you know, trying to get on the radar to actually get there. And that's, you know, where we are now.
Right. And he had said previous to going into CZW, he was almost done with wrestling or at least traveling, and he wanted to pretty much stay local, become a firefighter and stuff like that. What was going on with you at the time if, you know, he was going to be splitting off of, you know, the traveling scene? And what was your plan?
We had talked about it. I was just going to start doing singles. It was either I was going to do singles or me and Dustin Reyes was going to go out and do some tag stuff. Those are the two things that were kind of talked about. You know, at that point in time, I didn't blame my brother. I mean, he has a beautiful little girl, which, you know, you can't take that away from him. And, you know, she's just an adorable little thing. And, you know, he wanted to spend more time with her. So I wasn't going to be that thorn in the side. I said, hey, bro, what about our careers? It was, you know, more or less he had to watch out for him. He had to watch out for his family. And I understood that full-heartedly.
All right. Now, when you finally did come into CZW, I was hyped because I had known of you guys before that, and I was like, you know, great, we're going to get some Irish Airborne. And they pretty much debuted you as kind of like a manager role and pissed me off because I was like, fuck, man, the tag team division was weak as shit, and we could have had you guys tearing it up against Philly's Most Wanted and all sorts of other guys, and they pretty much just had you coming in the manager role month after month. Now, what was going on there?
Well, that was another thing where my brother just didn't trust my judgment. So he wanted me to come in as a, you know, kind of like in a probational type sense. He didn't want to give his full stamp of approval. He wanted to see how it was going to be. So, you know, it took me writing down several times to get booked. And it was one of those situations where it's like, hey, you know, why don't you just manage your brother? And I'm like, cool. Yeah, I guess that's what I'll do. And then finally my brother went to bat for me, and it took me getting my own opportunities. It took me making my own spot to get there.
All right. He said that you're the jealous type. Is that the truth, or do you think as you're saying that, you know, you just weren't given the shots that you deserved?
I mean, if he wants to say I'm jealous, I mean, there are a few things that I'm jealous over. Like, you know, I'm jealous when a guy who I feel isn't up to the same level as I am gets a spot over me. Mm-hmm. You know, I get kind of jealous about that. Not necessarily jealous. I get more determined and I get more pissed off. But, you know, I never let that lame dog, you know, just finally die. You know what I mean? But, like, right. When it comes to, like, women or money or shit like that, like, I don't care at all, you know what I mean? Like, I don't get jealous like that. But when it comes to wrestling, yeah, I guess I kind of, you know, as I'm getting older, I get more competitive. Obviously, I'm not going to be able to do this forever, so I want my shit now, you know what I mean? I want my spot. I want to earn it. I want to do what I got to do, and I don't really care who I hurt to have to get it.
Understandable. You know, entering the area and everything like that, you guys had worked Philly previous to that, I think, with Ring of Honor. But, you know, what's your thoughts on the Philly crowd, the arena crowd, as opposed to, you know, Ohio and Indiana and all those other places?
In all honesty, I don't think they really like me very much. I think they pretty much hate me there. You know, to me, the Philly people are so demanding. And they've seen so much, and they want to see you do just as much as everybody else has.
Right.
So it's like, you know, I think that, you know, at some point in time, you can't let them have everything. You know what I mean? You gotta
right.
let them. You gotta let them earn it. So that's my style of wrestling. I'm not gonna go out there and just give you everything. I'm gonna make you earn it. I want you to make sure that you're gonna come every month to see what I'm gonna do next. I'm not going to go out there and do everything I can the first time out. I know it makes me kind of sound like a dick, but, I mean, you know, I'm in this for longevity. I'm in this game to make money, you know what I mean? I want to make sure that when my seeds grow up, that they have a legacy to come to.
All right. Well, something else you created, and maybe you could give us a little more insight about, is Ohio is for Killers. What does that mean to you and... Yeah, you know, what's your message you're trying to send?
Well, in all honesty, I don't know if you know much about the Ohio scene, but, you know, other than myself, my brother, Sammy Callahan, and Johnny Gargano, with a handful of other guys mixed in, it's pretty much the shits, man. It's, like, awful. Like,
yeah.
Everybody in Ohio thinks that they deserve to be in a certain spot. Everyone in Ohio thinks that they don't have to earn their right. Like, most of these dudes don't even leave. So for most part, I got tired of hearing that Ohio is where wrestling comes to die. I was getting
right.
sick and tired of hearing about that. So, I mean, this is where I came up. This is my, you know, my home. So when you hear that constantly, like, oh, where are you from? Dayton, Ohio. Oh, yeah, that used to be a hotbed for wrestling until I died, right? Yeah, something like that. Yeah, it kind of sucks there. I went there for a Ring of Honor show, and, you know, we were there the whole next day, and there was nothing. There was no wrestling worth watching or anything. So it's like my goal for the Ohio is for Killers, and which is the reason why, you know, myself, my brother and Sammy Callahan. Even though me and my brother don't get along all the time, we still agree that bad wrestling is bad wrestling. There's
right.
no way of fans or buts about that. But that's the reason why the three of us decided to come together and just try to change the opinions of professional wrestling. Like, I want to make sure that when I go to Jersey, they know that I'm from Ohio. I want to make sure that they know that I'm repping where I'm from. And I want them to know that, hey, not everything you hear about Ohio is exactly accurate. It's not full of shitbags, and it's not full of yard tards.
Right.
We actually put a lot of heart. We put a lot of passion into what we do, and that's exactly what the Ohio for Killers is. It's love. It's passion. It's dedication. It's hard work. I mean, I know it kind of sounds like a typical story from everything else that you've heard in the wrestling industry, but that's exactly what it is. I was sitting on the couch one day. I looked at my girlfriend. We were watching some shitty-ass wrestling on YouTube from Dayton, and I'm like, fuck this shit. Fuck that guy. fuck his mother. His mother should have fucking swallowed him. And I'm sorry to cuss so much. I apologize.
No, it's fine. I'm a filthy show.
I got pissed because these cocksuckers were just, like, degrading what I do. Like, wrestling's
right.
all I do for a living. I don't do anything else. So
yeah.
when I go to a show, I'm trying to make money. But when I go to a show and I'm trying to sell my T-shirts for $15, and this other dude's like, what are you selling your T-shirts for? $15. Okay, cool. Then marks his down to $8.
Okay.
I was ready to start beating somebody's ass. There's
yeah,
no
yeah.
respect. You know, when we came up, when we came through Heartland, it was guys like Nigel McGuinness. It was guys like Cody Hawk. It was guys like Matt Stryker, Chet Jablonski, Dean Jablonski, Pepper Parks. Guys like
right.
that paved the way for us to get there. And when we got there, we had to earn our stripes. We got our asses beat day in and day out. You know, there wasn't a time where we didn't come home, you know, battered, beaten, and bruised. But we wore those bruises like medals of honor. Now you go to a show nowadays in Dayton, and you whip someone's ass. You know, you put a good licking on them. You give them some good chops, and they're crying to the promoter, "Don't book this guy. He's stiff. Don't book this guy. He hurts people." And it's like, come on, guys, this isn't fucking ballet. This is what I feel is wrong with Ohio wrestling, is everyone wants to try to make money, but nobody knows how to do it. And the only way to do it is to be legit. You got to go out there and you got to show the people something different than they've already
right.
seen. We've seen Ring of Honor here for years. So when they see Ring of Honor going out there and putting in work and doing what they got to do to pack that 500 people in there, these dudes are going out trying to imitate what they did or what they saw, and it's like there's no rhyme or reason. You don't know what the fuck you're doing. You should be
right.
dropping your fucking head.
So
sorry to get on that long rant right there.
Nah, it's okay. But you think so? Obviously, you know, in the area, like you said, it was really hard to get over and this and that because the people you were working amongst were so far below you, and then the promoters would side with these guys because they're the majority or whatever the case was. I, you know, just from an outside perspective, I would think it'd be so much easier for you to shine when you guys are the few talented people in there, but it seemed like you guys got pushed out because no one could keep up. So is it better to, you know, put that name on you and take, you know, as a group say, okay, this is what Ohio is capable of and show the rest of the country?
Exactly. Like, this is how it was. I'm $150 talent. Like, that's what I charge. So I'm $150 talent. Then you got a room full of shitbags, and between the 20 guys, you're paying $20. And you're trying to
yeah.
keep a low budget. Who are you going to choose?
All right.
I mean,
yeah,
they don't care about talent here. They're down to put anything. Like, HWA runs in Hamilton. Four streets over, this other fed decides to start coming in and charge $2 when we charge $10. It's like, you know, it's
everybody's
like,
just undercutting.
If you got steak at home, why are you going out for cheeseburgers?
Yeah, I hear you. Get what you pay for, more or less.
Exactly.
Now, you know, Jake was saying about, you know, you training guys and more or less making, you know, an offshoot of the Ohio's for Killers and stuff like that. When you train these guys, you know, what are you trying to instill into them and teach them to more or less represent coming out of your training?
When I have my students, the main thing I want them to show, no matter what, is heart. I mean, you can't teach heart. And the first thing, you know, I ask them, I'm like, hey, why do you want to be a wrestler? And then when I give them my tryout, if they fail, if they can't do what I ask them to do and they just quit, they're done.
All right.
You know, first off is heart. Towards the end of you know, when they get towards graduation, I just want to make sure that they got the fundamentals. You know, obviously, you know, first couple of years, you're not going to be, you know, you're not going to be Chris Benoit. You're not going to be Eddie Guerrero or Dean Malenko. But I expect you at some point in time to think back to what I taught you and realize, hey, I have the fundamentals. I'm a good technical wrestler. I have heart. I have determination. I'm going to be a good wrestler. When they represent me, I want them to make sure that they represent to the fullest. So when I put the OIFK on them, because that's what we do for the youngins is OIFK. Like, we're the OI4K, they're the OIFK. And before they even get that stamp, they have to work, they have to understand what they're doing, and they have to show me heart. So that's right. The main thing that I want out of my students. I want heart. I want determination. I want desire. You know, something you can't teach. That's what I want out of my students. I mean, there are so many guys out there that have no athletic ability, that have no real reason why they should be in the wrestling business, but they don't quit. They keep trying. Actually, one of my students, Clark, he got screwed over several times by different trainers. He spent well over $6,000 to try to learn to be a professional wrestler, and guys just kept taking his money. So when I heard that, I'm like, Mike Clark, you know, why don't you just come train with me? Actually, he asked me to train him, and I was like, yeah. And when he asked me how much, I'm like, nothing, bro, for free. You've already been taken advantage of enough. And that dude has more heart and more determination than I see out of pretty much anybody on the indies nowadays. One of his two goals in life were to, one, be G.I. Joe. He went to the Army. He was a paratrooper. All I wanted to be was a drill sergeant. Some injuries set him back. He got medically discharged. And his next dream was to be a professional wrestler. So now I'm helping him fulfill his professional wrestling dream.
That's good.
He just doesn't quit.
Now, what were some of your inspirations to get into wrestling, wrestler-wise?
If you already talked to my brother, you already know the answers to this. In all honesty, Rey Mysterio Jr. was somebody that I watched a lot, like WCW Rey Mysterio Jr., because I could relate to his size, because obviously I'm not a big dude. Eddie Guerrero was a huge influence. I was a big fan of Taz, because once again, you know, he was a shorter guy, but he got to the point where he was a stockier dude, but I enjoyed the fact that he was, you know, a smaller guy. Chris Benoit, Dean Malenko. And around this point in time, you know, tape trading wasn't necessarily like a huge thing at this point in time. This was probably 94, 95. So in the Midwest, we didn't get a lot of the tape trading things that guys on the East Coast did. And then we met a guy named Derek, which you talked to my brother. You know, Derek was very instrumental in getting us in training, I believe. Is that what he told you?
Yeah.
Okay. I didn't know if he had told you the whole story about Derek, you know, putting his neck on the line with the dude and was like, hey, come check these guys out. But I met him in high school. He's one of my best friends. And it's just like he really, really helped. He just really helped out, you know, as far as tape-wise goes, because he was the only tape trader we knew. He got ECW. He got a lot of Japanese stuff. So Hayabusa was another one that I really enjoyed watching. Hayabusa, he was just so insane. And, you know, obviously I'm more of an aerial wrestler, so I was always down for the more aerial guys.
What, if you had to name a few, what were your favorite matches to watch? You know, going back.
Halloween Havoc. I don't remember what year, but it was Eddie versus Ray. That was an amazing match. Chris Benoit versus Chris Jericho was another one that I really liked. I know that they've wrestled more than once, and I'm just saying that they've never had a match together that I didn't like. If you're talking about particular matches, Taz versus Shane Douglas, I can't remember what pay-per-view it was, but it was when they brawled out, and I believe Shane Douglas got Taz plexed onto a ramp. I believe it was like Living Dangerously. It was insane because it was like nobody else was doing that. And that, I remember that caught my eye and I was like, holy shit. And then obviously, to touch base on what you guys were talking about earlier, WrestleMania, I remember seeing Hulk Hogan body slam Andre the Giant.
Yeah.
And I saw that and I heard the eruption. That is what made me want to be a pro wrestler. That match is like one of the top reasons why I wanted to be a pro wrestler, because I wanted to make the people feel that much joy. Because I could never imagine being a normal average guy and trying to make people, you know, as happy as those two guys made people.
Right.
So, you know, I'm just watched that and I'm like, Jesus Christ, this is what I want. This is what I want to do. So those are some matches. I'm sorry that it was very vague on some of those. I apologize.
No big deal. Your brother had actually said that Matt Stryker's power slam actually made him want to be a wrestler. So was Hulk Hogan's body slam what made you want to be a wrestler?
Theoretically, yeah. It was more or less the crowd reaction. It wasn't
right.
The actual body slam itself. It was how they made the people erupt.
Yeah.
And then, going to, that's when I knew I wanted to be one. Like,
right.
Me and my brother, we would we'd wrestle on our beds when we were little kids, and the asshole would always have to be the Rockers, and I would always have to be Demolition. Come on, man. Why do I always have to be Demolition? But, you know, that's what we would do. We would wrestle, and then we'd always tell people, we'd write book reports from early age on, like, hey, we're going to be pro wrestlers. We're going to be pro wrestlers. And then when we saw HWA in Dayton, I remember him seeing Matt Stryker throw that power slam, and he was like, fuck yes.
Yeah.
I remember his eyes just lit up. At that point in time, I remember seeing a match. It was Jamie Noble and Shannon Moore and I believe there was, I'm going to say Evan Courageous, but I might be wrong. But we were
right.
Sitting in the front row. Like, we were sitting in the front row, and actually, if you pull the DVD out, you can actually see where we're sitting. You can see young us right there.
Yeah.
And Jamie Noble, I believe, I'm pretty sure it was that time. Jamie Noble grabbed Evan Courageous and just yanked a piece of his hair out. And I remember Evan Courageous getting so pissed that he sold to the floor and didn't get back in the ring. That is another reason why I wanted to be a pro wrestler. I wanted to, like, when someone pissed me off, I wanted to inflict pain upon them like Jamie Noble did.
Yeah.
I'm like, fuck yes. Jamie Noble is a man.
Wow. So did you happen to be Demolition and have any influence on the spikes on your gear?
Can I tell you a really funny story about my jackets?
Yeah, man.
One of my jackets is actually a jacket that I wore in high school.
Wow.
Like, it still fits me. It's ridiculous. I've always really, really been into punk rock and punk rock music. Like, just the style and just the music and the just everything about it just engulfed me as a kid. Because it was like, when I was 13, you know, like I said before, my mom was an alcoholic, my dad wasn't around, so I didn't really have a lot of positive influences, so I started to listen to a lot of music, and I came across the band called Minor Threat, and came across another band called Earth Crisis, and I was just like, damn, this is awesome. You know, I learned more about them, and then I found out what Straight Edge was. And
right.
Once I found out what Straight Edge was, there was a local Straight Edge scene in Dayton, and I started doing more and more research and started getting more and more into the punk and the hardcore scene, and one thing led to another to where I'm just like, damn, this is what I want out of my life. Like, to me, and this is something that I thought about even when I was younger, because when I was younger, when I was 13, 14, 15, 16 years old, I was actually a sponsored inline skater. I had an opportunity to skate at the X Games, but my parents couldn't afford to send me to San Diego.
Wow.
I was a really, really good skater, and actually skating almost took over my life. Like, I had to make a decision one day if I wanted to be a pro skater or I wanted to be a pro wrestler, and I chose to be a pro wrestler. I was actually, the trick I was doing a double backflip. And I hit my head on the coping and split me open, and that was my first concussion. I laid there for about 2.5 hours, just thinking and convulsing. Like, my boys, and I say boys, I put quotations around that, were just filming me. Filming me lay there. And that's when I decided that I didn't want to do that no more. But, you know, that, I wanted to make sure that if I was going to be a role model someday, that I was going to be a positive role model. I didn't want to be like all these other so-called role models and so-called athletes. Like, at that point in time, the scandal with Michael Irvin and Deion Sanders' coke problem was, you know, coming forward. And the Dallas Cowboys, you know, they were America's team. Everyone wanted to be like, you know, Deion Sanders. But he was a cokehead. I mean, do you want your child to grow up to be a cokehead? So at that point in time, I'm like, you know, I want to be a positive role model. So I decided when I was about 13 that I wanted to be straight edge. I wanted to live a clean lifestyle. I wanted to live a lifestyle for me, which is what punk rock did for me. I wasn't going to let somebody tell me who I was. I wasn't going to let anyone tell me what I was going to do, what I was going to wear. I was going to be me, and that's exactly what I did. Like, have you seen me at shows, like, in normal street clothes?
I think so.
All year round, does not matter. I wear cut off camos and a band T-shirt all the time.
Yeah.
The majority of the clothes I still own were from high school, and I graduated in 2001.
Yeah.
Like, it's ridiculous. Like, I've been wearing cutoff camos since I was probably 12 years old. Year round, does not matter. But that's, you know, I'm sorry for the long roundabout answer. No. Demolition was not the reason why I did Spice. But they did have awesome ring entrance gear.
I just figured it started early, you know.
Yeah.
But,
I mean, it could. I mean, all those spikes, that's probably what made me down. I was like, damn, I have to wear spikes. Like, we'd make paper spikes, and I had to wear my entrance gear out. So that's probably, honestly, what happened, to be completely honest. That's probably it. Thanks,
Jay. Imagine what your street clothes would look like if you were the Rockers.
Oh, my God, I'd look like my brother. I'm just kidding. I do think he's kind of boring sometimes, though. He just looks like a dad.
If someone was scouting you and you had to show them one match from your career, what would be that one match you showed them?
Tag work, I'm going to say, if I had to show something tag work-wise, us and the Briscoes in Minneapolis was really good. I think we told a really good story. I'd probably also show them a couple things that we did back in the day at HWA. We were very blessed early on. We got to work, you know, Matt Stryker, Nigel McGinnis, Chad Collier, like pretty much, you know, on a regular basis. So, you know, they were always so amazing to us. Singles-wise, I would pretty much show them anything by me and my brother, like wrestling each other. I think that we have good chemistry together, which, to be completely honest with you, a lot of people probably think that we've wrestled a lot in our career, but we've probably wrestled less than 10 times our whole entire career.
Really?
And 7 of those times was at HWA.
Wow.
But I'll tell you something that's absolutely amazing. You've seen Cage Death, right?
Yep.
Believe this or not, I was knocked out, completely out cold, about 3 or 4 minutes into the match.
Oh, shit.
Like, when my brother kicks, he kicks so fucking hard, knocking clean the fuck out.
Wow.
The rest of that was just me, my hatred towards him and how much I wanted to hurt him.
So you'd say, would you say that he's still your favorite opponent?
Yes. I would say that my brother is definitely in my top favorite opponents. Two other guys that I really enjoy wrestling, that we've had the privilege of wrestling as of late, Eric Cannon and Jimmy Jacobs.
Okay.
Dudes are amazing. Class acts. Love those guys. They're just... Jimmy is just such an amazing, just the story he tells with his body language. He's just such an amazing wrestler, and he's such an amazing athlete. And he's, you know, when he's hurt, you can't tell that he's hurt. Like, he just wants to go out there and have a great match all the time. So that would be something that I would definitely put on the portfolio. Other singles matches, myself and Ricochet, we've had some really great matches over the years. Like, we just had one for HWA this year, and it was quite possible one of my favorite matches of my career, based on the fact that, you know, it was just really good. Really enjoyed it.
I'll definitely check that out. What dream matches do you got?
Man, you know, I hear people ask me that question all the time. In all honesty, like, a lot of the stuff that I wanted to do as a kid, I've already got to fulfill. Like, believe this or not, when I was a little kid, I always wanted to wrestle Tracy Smothers. Like, I always wanted to be in the ring with Tracy Smothers, and I've had so many opportunities to do that. I've always wanted to wrestle the American Wolves. We've done that. You know, another amazing match that IPW put together for us.
Right.
Always wanted to work the Briscoes. We did that Ring of Honor. A lot of the guys we wanted to work when we first started our career, you know, we got to accomplish that, you know, very early on in our careers, you know, three years in. Nowadays, I would love to be able to work with Kenta. Like, that would be something that I would really enjoy. Prince DeWitt, I would really like to do some stuff with him. I would love to have a few more matches with Ricochet. I mean, somebody else I'd really like to wrestle is Samurai Del Sol. My brother just got to wrestle him, and they destroyed it. They killed it. So I think him and I could have a really good match. I'd really like to work with Yuha Nation as well. Like, I love that dude. Like, you know, I talk to him pretty regularly now. I went through something similar with my knee, so I'm just trying to make sure that I give him some positive reinforcement. But the dude's an amazing athlete. He's just so humble. He's so amazing at what he does. And I honestly don't think that he understands how good he really is.
Nah.
And other than that, I would say I'd love to do some stuff with AR Fox. Tag-wise, I would love to wrestle Philly's Most Wanted again. We did it once at Jakara, but I think, you know, at a bigger stage like CZW, I think, you know, the Irish Airborne and Philly's Most Wanted could just go out there and absolutely murder anyone's expectations of a match.
Yeah, I would think so. What are your goals in the business?
My goals, you know, in all honesty, right now, my main goals are to go overseas, make an international name for myself, to continue to make a living off of wrestling so I don't have to get a real job, because right now I'm living the dream, man. Like, I'm traveling, I'm getting to hang out with my boys. And number three, I would love to see my trainees succeed. That's number one for me, is I want to make sure that my trainees get to do half the stuff that I've gotten to do. And something that I always tell my trainees is drink it in. Like when we were younger, 05, 06, 07, when we were, you know, had our stint with Ring of Honor, we took it for granted. Like we didn't sightsee. We were in all kinds of cities that we had no business being in, like New York City, Edison, New Jersey, Minneapolis. We didn't do any sightseeing. Chicago. We never took in the sights. It was always get there, wrestle, leave. And we never took time to smell the roses. So that's something that I always tell my trainees is, you know, take the time to smell the roses. So I would really love for my trainees to get out, see the world a little bit, see how beautiful America really is. Because, I mean, if you get stuck in the same places long enough, it all looks like the same shit bag. But we did a 32-hour road trip. It was myself, John Moxley, my brother, and two other of my boys to Phoenix for the WrestleMania weekend with Dragon Gate USA. And that was quite possibly one of the most amazing weeks of my life. Like, we had so much fun. We were so exhausted by the time we got there. But, you know, like, I wanted to sleep in the desert. I slept in the desert.
Yeah.
I mean, how many times can you say you slept in the fucking desert, right?
Yeah, never.
So, you know, it was just, you know, that trip is what made me really want to, you know, that made me open my eyes and say, hey, you know, it's time to smell the roses. So those are my goals. I guess my fourth little goal that I have is I just want, you know, some fan, you know, whether it's a little kid, an old lady, a teenage kid, a grown-ass man, I just want to be able to say that, hey, I made that guy hate me. I made that guy smile. I made that lady hate me. I made that lady smile. You know what I mean? I just want to know that when I'm done wrestling, that, you know, for the most part, people enjoyed my work. People enjoyed my body of entertainment. And you know, I think those are my goals. I know it's pretty hefty, but that's pretty much it in a nutshell. That's what I want.
I had heard, you know, through some people who have talked to you in the past and stuff, that you're a big rib guy. You got any rib stories you could share with us?
Well, did my brother tell you any rib stories? So I don't tell you the same.
Nope.
Okay, well, for about 6 months, we got two guys to completely rib each other. But they didn't know that the other one wasn't doing the rib. I'm going to go ahead and say initials. It was CH and BT. We got CH to think that that BT dumped trash in his car. Really, we took a trash can and dumped it all in this dude's car. So to retaliate, we're like, bro, you know, you need to do something. He goes, oh, no, man, you know, I'm not going to do it. And we were like, bro, I'm not going to let my boy, one of my best friends, go down like that. Let me pull the rip for you. And he goes, okay, cool. So me and my brother shit in a bag. Obviously not at the same time. It was different times. But we shit in a shopping bag. And we shut it up his door handles. With the other one, we wiped it across his windshield, right where his windshield wipers were. So that night when he's on his way home from the show, we were like, hey, man, because he drove it to the show. How funny is that? We drove to the back seat. We made sure that both front doors had shit in it. So, you know, he went underneath to grip it. He has shit all over his hands. He goes, what the fuck is this? And he smells his hands. He goes, I think this is shit. Smells it again. He goes, what the fuck? This is shit.
Are you able to not laugh when that shit happens? Did it?
Yeah, I mean, I'm sorry about that. So right after that, you know, it calmed down a little bit, this guy, we were on a show with him, and at this point in time, I was engaged to Madison Rain, and my brother was engaged and still is engaged to Nevaeh.
Right.
he went out and he got one of his friends, one of the marks, to buy their 8x10s. But, you know, he got her to buy the 8x10s where, like, they're in their bra and panties. It's like, come on, bro. You sleep in my house. Why are you buying a picture of my girlfriend like this? You know what I mean? Kind of
yeah.
a creeper move, right? So we didn't realize it at the time. We didn't see it. And Drake Younger points it out. He's like, hey, man, you know, isn't that Jay and David's girls? And we look, we're like, what the fuck, dude? Like, what are you doing? And he goes, man, you know, like, completely busts his balls. Completely busts his balls. So we stole his jersey, his Detroit Tigers jersey.
All right.
And we gave it to Maddie. I'm just going to go ahead and say Maddie. Maddie is CH. So we gave
okay.
it to Maddie. Maddie put it on his dog. So pictures. So when he took pictures of it, what do you think we did?
Posted it.
Of course, we forwarded it to everybody.
Yeah.
So we forwarded it to BT, and we're like, bro, look what Maddie did. You need to fuck him up. And he's like, oh, man, you know, what should I do? What should I do? And I'm like, bro, let's be honest. He put shit in your door handles. He stole your jersey. Now his dog is wearing it. You know what you need to do? You need to take a piss on his back. Wait till he gets done wrestling to take a piss on him. He goes, really? And I go, fuck yeah, dude, do it. I'll tell you what, me and Jay, we got your back. We never thought he'd do it. So,
oh, man.
And Maddie comes back. He had a horrible match, like one of the worst matches. So he's all upset. He's all pee-pee hurt. And next thing you know, you see Brandon Toll whipping out. Well, I just said it, Brandon Toll. Whipping out his little dick. Pissing all over Maddie's back. Pissed all over this guy's back. Maddie is like 6'3", 300 pounds. Toll is like 5'8", 2-something. Pissing all over this grown-ass man's back. So he grabs him up in a choke slam and tries to choke slam him down a flight of steps. So we saved his life. I know that's kind of a long story on ribs, but
that's a good story.
One time, we stole a dude's bag, stuck it up in the rafters. We figured, you know, hey, how could you not see it? We came back a year later, and it was still there.
Wow.
Like, it was at the John Bryant Community Center in Yellow Springs, Ohio. It was still there. Actually, as a rib, we wore his gear in our match. And he was in our match with us. And he's like, where the fuck did you guys get that from? We're like, I don't know, bro. Got a Hot Topic, same place you did. So that was pretty funny. I'll tell you another funny Brandon Toll story. Brandon Toll eBayed, and he was an eBay, you know, fanatic back in the day. Well, he had eBayed a pair of the Ultimate Warrior's trunks. Yeah, he paid like $1,000 for a pair of the Ultimate Warrior's trunks.
Jesus.
Who would really do that?
I don't know.
The man probably didn't even wash the shits. So we found it out. We're going through his phone, and we see the Ultimate Warrior's number. So we start prank phone calling the Ultimate Warrior. And he's like, who are you calling? And he's driving my car. We're driving to Pennsylvania. And he goes, he's like, who are you calling? I was like, the Ultimate Warrior. He reaches back, almost drives us into a fucking mountain. Like, literally, almost drives us into a fucking mountain. To grab his phone because he thought we were literally prank phone calling the Ultimate Warrior. What a dumb shit. I forwarded a message from him to the Ultimate Warrior with the Ultimate Warrior's number on it to myself, so I have the Ultimate Warrior's number on my phone so I could prank phone call him. So you know, we took him to wrestler's court. He was found guilty, so he had to be my bitch for, I believe it was for a month. So at any point in time, just I could randomly give him push-ups, So on the way home, we made him run a mile. And it was cold as fuck. It was probably January. We made him take his clothes off, and he ran the naked mile. But he only had 8 minutes to do it. And he was so out of shape that he couldn't do it. So every we'd go, we let him do 8 minutes, and then if he couldn't do it, we'd go a half mile. And if he didn't, you know, do it in 4 minutes, we went another half mile. So eventually, after we made him run 3 miles naked, we kind of felt bad for him. We let him in the car. The next day, we were in Pickwell, Ohio, for Dayton Championship Wrestling. I was like, Brandon Toll, here's what I want you to do. I want you to put my gear on for me. So, you know, he's sitting there, you know, being all timid, putting my gear on for me. And I look at him, and I'm like, hey, bro, my trunks are on backwards. So I managed to take my trunks off and put them back on me. I know, I'm an asshole, man. I truly am.
Oh,
that's just some of the ribs that we've done. Like, I can't think of any other ones, but, I mean, like, we're constantly ribbing. The majority of the time, it's, you know, the ribs we do are fucked up and, you know, have something to do with shit or piss.
Apparently.
We're just fucked up people. Like, something else we enjoy doing on road trips, and, you know, if you talk to my brother again, you know, I bet you, you know, if you ask him about it, he'll be able to vouch for this. We like to randomly piss on random people's feet. Like, when we're at the stall, we'll just take a piss on someone's foot.
Oh, wow.
That's I know, we're fucked up. It's probably not what you wanted to hear, is it?
Hey, whatever works for you, man. It's fine. It's hilarious.
I mean, it's fucked up shit. Like, I don't know. Some of the ribs that I pulled back in the day when I was on the skating circuit was childish, but, you know, it was similar to that. Like, we would always do saran wrap, toilet bowl, and stuff like that whenever we were on RVs and shit.
Yeah, that's crazy shit. So, anyway, Saturday. So 2 days away, got your match against your brother. You guys have wrestled, you know, many and many a times. You know, what's your thoughts on this upcoming match? Best of the best?
I don't know how much of a match it's going to be. I think it's going to be more of a fight. You know, last month, he decided to hit me with our tag move. I didn't like that very much. I didn't enjoy Chuck Taylor sticking his foot in my ass and then getting tombstoned. I didn't enjoy that at all. I thought it was also disrespectful that my brother would use one of our tag moves. I mean, I've tagged with many people, but you don't see me doing my tag moves, do you?
No.
I thought it was disrespectful that he used one of our tag moves. So at this point in time, you know, I'm coming in there as a fight. You know, nothing more, nothing less. I mean, when we went to Easter, my mom had a schedule for Easter dinner 2 separate times.
Wow.
My mom won't let us be in the same room because right now we just can't get along. We're always arguing. Like, half the time when we go on road trips now, like, I sit in the front, he'll sit in the back, and we don't talk.
Huh.
Like, when we do HWA on Tuesdays, I'm in one room, he's in another. We just don't talk. We're just not getting along right now. There's nothing about us is on the same page.
So how'd the match go down that you guys just had with Euthanasia?
When you watch the match, you can tell that we're just not on the same page.
All
right. Like, if you get the opportunity to check it out, you can just tell that we're not on the same page. Plus, you know, it was just kind of like, I think the crowd was kind of flat because they enjoyed both teams, so they didn't know who to cheer for.
Mm-hmm.
But one of my favorite moments of that match is when I got the crowd to sing the Team America World Police theme song.
Nice. So yeah, man. I mean, I wish you luck. I mean, if anything, wire title on the line.
I think I'm coming home with it.
Hell of a fight.
You're going to be there this weekend, right?
Yes, I sure will.
Well, you can see me win it firsthand, because I don't think my brother's going to walk out there with the title.
All right. Before I let you off, could you cut us a Yakuza Kick Radio promo?
Yeah, what do you need me to say?
You know, your name, Yakuza Kick Radio, anything, just put whatever spin on it you like.
Okay.
Go ahead.
I'm Dave Crist. You're listening to Yakuza Kick Radio, the only radio, goddamn, can I do it again?
Go ahead.
I apologize. I fucked that all up.
No problem.
I'm Dave Crist, and you're listening to Yakuza Kick Radio, the only radio program with the balls enough to let Dave Crist be his motherfucking self.
Awesome, dude. Anything else
that
you want to plug?
Spin, right? There it is. You can check me out on Twitter at OIFK1324. Check me out on Facebook. Facebook / Dave Crist. You can check me out on Pornhub at... I'm just kidding.
I was like, what the fuck?
Also, if you guys get bored and you want to check out some other stuff, HWAOnline.com. Don't forget to check out CZW. You should always support CZW because CZW is definitely the creme de la creme. You know, it's the top of the indies right now, so... You know, pay attention to those guys. I give a shout out to my trainees, Clark Connor, Samantha Heights, G-Force. I know you guys are listening right now, so I appreciate the support. And, you know, I just want to say thank you to all the fans that make it possible for me to do what I do and, you know, what all wrestlers do. And I want to go ahead and say that... Alex Colon, I know you're Puerto Rican, but you better start pulling your share around the house, motherfucker. Just kidding. He's doing a good job. He has been a good roommate for this month.
Cool, man. Cool. Well, thanks for coming on, man.
Dude, no problem. Sorry I was late again, man. Just got caught up on some things at practice. I sincerely apologize.
It's cool, man. Some stuff happens, and, you know, you got a huge match or fight, you know, up 2 days from now, so I don't blame you, man.
Hopefully I didn't curse too much. Hopefully I didn't, you know, disrespect anyone too much as well, and if I did, then, you know, eat shit.
Absolutely. So, yeah, man, thanks for coming on. I'll see you on
Dude,
Saturday.
Thanks, thanks for having me. Yep, see you Saturday, brother.
Tear it up, man.
Don't forget to say hi, man, you know. Feel free to come say hi to me.
Absolutely, will do.
Okay, dude. Bye-bye.
All right. Peace, man. Yeah, so that was Dave Crist. And did not disappoint. I'm going to take a little music break, come right back, do the rest of this. All right, here we go.
If I don't, so sometimes I will and sometimes I won't. Mad, then crack a 40 down the back. Sit fat and relax and plan my attack. Not the one that sets up, but that's mad finesse. My mood, I was blessed, one bird in the nest. Chills with my heat, steady bouncing in jeeps on the New York street. Hitting urban concrete, I'm the man. I'm the festival with the extraterrestrial flow. 456 V-Lo, pop the top on the 40-ounce bottle. I'm not the one to follow, I'm not the role model. Hollow six in my clips, money gripping my slot. Only spits when I react to the bullshit. So give me room to breathe and get up off these and save the confessions for Jesus. Plus, I don't need to hear no sorrow. F it, the sun will still come out tomorrow. Long as I'm breathing, needing, even like Steven, achieving, getting some cheese and representing lovely. Boogie down Bronx major with the project flavor. I'm Asia, Asia, all the haters, man. Hell, if you front, you know what I want. Fat beats for my rhyme, mad clips for my nine. An ill posse and my name up in lights and I and me. I'ma let you know how I feel on the real. I back seal it like a jungle, makes me wonder where my heel is. The brick gives the dog shit to me. Am I cypher? Temple like rowdy, rowdy piper. Hyper like a viper. I'ma strike if I got to go in for the jugular. Stretch it like a copper. Topper, topper. But you can't stop me. Put the clock me. Just watch me. Blow up the spot, J. Came a long way from back in the day. We did it for no pages.
rhyme and hit the hay and sleep. Wake up, write another rhyme, hit the park after dog, drop the beat one time. That's when shit was real. No ponies, no baloney, just the homie mics and wheels of steel. Back up from the hook, half plugged in the street light. Everything right, jam over, street fight. Back to the lab, I grab my pen and pad. Raw lyrics, make a Floretta scat. Had no De Niro, enough get four chicken wings and rice. A 40 ounce of nickel bag to get nice. Now I might make a million. It's still sun, it makes the heart pump. You know what I want. Fat beats from my rhymes, mad clips from my nines, an ill posse, and my name up in lights and I in need. J. Fudd with the mansion and the yacht. Brand new Glock, non-stop hip hop. Remote control boombox, clamping on my dress on the guard. Ain't no weather as the pressure comes to test ya. 100-pound weight around my neck. Daily, enough treasons, enough reasons like Philip Bailey. Can't get enough of that funky stuff. Rhyming astronomical, original shit is phenomenal. Heat up together, put the pedals in the metal. Speed like racing, treat you like a whack rhyme in the rich. Right off the paper, roll a big fat split. Full fifth on the hip. Heineken in the grip, shit, they're ready. Get the keys for the Jeep. Let's bounce, cruise avenues, get some bruises, and sing that blues with the funk master flash cassette in the deck. I'm in the back, I move my neck while sun gets wrecked. Oh, what a feeling. I'm on the wheels of feeling. I snatch up some kids with some sexual healing. Anything social, copacetic, groovy. Hip hop moves me, fools me. I'm letting off like an Uzi. The first step to newsy, it moves me. Now I'm choosy before I start to freak it like a floozy. I wanna get big, get paid, true stunt. You know what I want. Fat beats from my rhyme, mad clips from my nine, an ill posse, and my name up in lights and I in need.
You. Sorry for keeping on your hold for so long, man.
I know, it's all good.
Dave kept me waiting, man.
But, what's going on, yo?
Chilling, man. So, for those who don't know, this is Black G's on the line, and been talking enough about CZW, and G's got different plans this weekend, so figure I'll bring you on, talk about that Jersey All-Pro card a little bit.
Yeah, this Saturday night in Rahway, New Jersey. It's going to be Jersey All-Pro's final show. They're closing down. You know what I'm saying? So me and the big homie Joker, we going out there. We going to be the last Jersey All-Pro tag team champions after we beat the shit out of Homicide and the grand champion, Eddie Kingston and shit. You know what I'm saying? So make sure y'all people show y'all support for Jersey All-Pro show. So y'all support for Best of the Best too, because that lineup is stacked too.
Yeah, I didn't remember until today, and I looked and it was a Chikara doubleheader, and I'm like, oh shit.
Yeah, it's a lot of wrestling going on Saturday. It's a lot.
Yeah, and they got Low-Ki and Moth in the main event. I was trying to think if those cats wrestled one on one since last time Low-Ki knocked his ass out, but I don't. I don't think so either. I remember his arms just go stiff and he fell down. Like, it was funny as hell. Came with that off the rope kick.
Good.
But yeah, they got that, and they got Bandito, Azrael, Pinky, Devin Moore, Ricky Reyes, and Arcadia, the light heavyweight John. That should be good.
They got 30 Rotten Scoundrels versus Southside Players Club.
Yeah, dumb motherfuckers, man. They come out with some bitches. I think 30 Rotten Scoundrels got bigger titties than the bitches they come out with. I don't know what the fuck that's all about, man. They pull some, man. I don't know. I've seen them a couple times, and all three times I was like, they must have paid these bitches a crack. This shit's fucked up.
Yeah, maybe.
They come out there rubbing their nose, looking all skinny and shit. Fucked up.
They need to bring some thicker joints. They need to bring some titties out there.
Something. They got, like, no clothes and no body. Like, goddamn. Just fucked up. Like, combine, like, three of them bitches and make one bitch. But, I don't know. But they got a girls match. Me and Yim going out there against Kimberly.
Yeah.
They'll,
that's going to be crazy.
Tear it up out
there. Yeah, they tore it up. In Baltimore, it was a three-way, though. It was me and Yim, Kimberly, and Jenny Rose. Out in Baltimore, RCW, they tore it up. So that one-on-one going to be crazy.
Yeah, they'll do that shit up. Yeah, Monster Mac in there against Gregory Iron. You're going to be throwing the shit out of him.
Yeah, he probably going to throw him into the bleachers or something.
Yeah, some of that old school shit. I don't know some of these guys. I don't know who the fuck they is. They got the WOW title. It's like Jason Cross and Jason Karloff. I don't know the fuck. Then they got the Midnight Sensations and Glitz and Glamour. I don't know who. But
yeah, I know Midnight Sensations. I don't know much about the other boys. They might have brought from Jersey Shore there.
Yeah, that's what it looked like. Some of that shit. But yeah, I don't know. Either way, it should be a killer card with, you know, the big lineup matches, like you guys, Homicide and Kingston tearing it up, and then Low-Key and Moth. I mean, those matches alone.
Yeah.
Shit. So what you been doing with that C4 lately?
Oh, man, I've been trying to see how many scoops I can do before I have a heart attack, man. I thought I overdid it today, yo. Like, I just went in. I went in today, and then, like, maybe, like, 15 minutes later and shit, yo, I ain't feel right. I thought I was going to die. But, you know, I made it through. So I'm going to keep it going and shit.
You still working at that gym where that dude's half racist and shit?
Yeah, I'm still there. Like, lately I've been going in there. He ain't been there. The Mexican boy been in there. So I ain't seen the racist boy in a minute.
You keep up on
that
fucking C4, he's going to think you on some shit.
Oh, yeah.
He'll be like, another one of these on that crack.
Yeah, if he would have been in there the other day, I probably would have snapped on his racist ass and shit. I was hyped up.
That poor man, he think
any black dude that come in, like, he see me in there basically every day. So he know I'm coming in there to lift. But, you know what I'm saying, like, he assumed every black dude that's coming in there want to play basketball. I don't know how many times I came in there, and he's like, hey, and I walk by to join, and he's like, hey, $10 for basketball. And so I'm like, why you think I'm coming to play basketball? So he's like, well, what are you going to do? I was like, I want to know why you think I'm going to play basketball. Is it because I'm black? You know what I'm saying? Then he get all offended, try to play the victim and shit. You know what I'm saying? And I just laugh at his ass and just keep going.
Did you watch any of this TV shit last week? Did you see him get his mouth busted?
I saw it on YouTube, and I saw a little bit of TNA earlier.
Yeah, I was trying not to watch that shit. But,
the shit I saw on TNA Night was pretty good.
Yeah, I had it muted, and I don't really know what was going on, but usually it's not that good. But, Bob, what was happening tonight?
What I saw? I saw Christopher Daniels and Austin Aries. They tore it up. And then, it's always a pleasure to see ODB thick ass.
Yeah, I caught a minute of that. I had to look away because they just had ODB out there, and then they had other bitches coming out, and everybody started taking their damn clothes off and shit, Eric Young and the whole nine. I was like, what the fuck? They're trying to get married and some old shit. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know how to handle that shit. But yeah, you see Cena get his mouth busted? Yeah, you said you saw it on YouTube, right?
I saw it on YouTube. I ain't see the whole segment. I just saw the boy was bleeding, like he had period blood on his mouth.
Well, they more or less had him come out to confront Brock, and he said some shit like, "Yeah, thanks for last week" or whatever, and smacked him, just bitch slapped the shit out of him. And Brock just jumped on him like double leg takedown. And at first I thought it was a work because he jumped on him, little work, whatever, then they had the whole pull apart Then they show Cena and his mouth's all bleeding and shit. And then when they slowed it down and showed it a few times, you could see he just caught him in the mouth. And I'm like, yo, Brock's coming off that UFC shit trying to hurt these motherfuckers. And
oh, shit.
I'm like, yo, I don't think that shit was supposed to happen, because I was thinking, too, and, you know, Undertaker and Triple H were supposed to kill each other at the Hell in a Cell. All them jam chair shots and all that shit. And they only had, like, a little tiny bit of blood that I don't even know was supposed to happen or not, because they really didn't work it at all. And then come off of WrestleMania, like, 2 weeks, and seen it bleeding out of the mouth like that. I don't think they were supposed to do that shit at all. So.
Oh, no, that shit is crazy, though.
it was type funny. But, yeah. Would you think Albert come back? The Lord Tensei shit?
I think it's good, man. Like, this Japan shit with Carl Anderson was crazy, man. They was like
Giant Bernard,
yeah. Japan, man. And then, like, I think him being back is pretty good. I wonder who they're going to end up putting him with, though.
I don't know. I had heard that they were going to do it with Punk. And, because he was going to be, like, more or less another, you know, enforcer for Laurinaitis or whatever, and it was going to be some of that shit. But it'll work, because Punk will work stiff. But right now, they just got him just digging people up and squashing them, like. He tried to work this past week. Yoshitatsu's mad because he's trying to be Asian, and then he just beat the shit out of him. So I don't know. It was like a 2 second angle. It's like he's mad because he's really Asian, and then he's trying to be Asian. And you're like, all right, then there that go. So yeah, it's the whole shit. They're doing some interesting shit over there that's worth watching, but it's few and far between. I mean,
yeah, like the. Like, the Jericho and Punk stuff is good. I like that. What else come to mind? That's all that come to mind, really.
Yeah, it's not bad. I mean, they did that whole shit with Raven and Punk back in ROH and stuff like that, so it's a lot of rehashing, but, I mean, I always preferred Jericho over Raven anyway, so they're going to rework it, do something with that.
Yeah.
Fucking, Scott Hall got arrested again for choking the shit out of his girlfriend or something. For that shit.
Damn,
look, this is bugging. They still doing that Kevin Nash training, John?
I don't even know.
I don't either.
I heard something about it, but I don't know. I haven't really talked to anybody, really. So
they announced
know.
It, and then they never set prices, location, nothing. It's just like, yeah, and that's supposed to happen, like, I don't know, next week?
Oh, all right.
So that shit ain't looking good. So I'd heard he had pulled off some other shit because he ain't, like, they were selling promo pictures or some shit for too little, like, not enough money. So he got mad and he pulled off of that shit. I think that was that PWS shit or something.
I don't know. I mean, like, I'm curious to see, like what the, how to seminar going to be. Like, I wonder if it's going to be in-ring stuff or talking or whatever.
Yeah, you need to just talk. Just talk about how to beat people in the back and shit. I know you normally don't work too much at PWS stuff, right?
Nah, I never worked there before.
You seen that they got Muda on June 1st?
Yeah, I saw that. That's going to be crazy. Like, that's definitely going to be a sellout right there.
Yeah, I'm definitely going out there. I don't know what else they got lined up. I know they booked the shit out of Matt Hardy, but other than that, I don't know. I'm definitely going out there for Muda, though. Even just picture shit, fuck it. But, yeah, man, more or less, not too much going on the horizon with that shit. I mean, they book a lot of names, and they book some indie talent, but I guess it's worth showing up if you got the money or time or some shit, but...
Oh, yeah. You know people going to be coming out to see Muda, though.
Oh, yeah, fuck yeah. They got him, and they got Mil Máscaras.
Oh, shit, bro.
Same show, yeah.
That's crazy. Like, somebody bankroll is crazy.
Oh, this cat has got stupid money. They got... Yeah, and they were trying to bring Nash in for that, too, and then something fell through with that, but I don't give a fuck. But yeah, the next one they got is May 4th. They got Bret Hart, Rocky Johnson, fucking Matt Hardy, all sorts of motherfuckers.
Damn.
Matt Hardy.
They're having like some unusual names on there. Like you never know. It's like you never know what to expect. Like I never expect to hear Rocky Johnson like being on the joint out here anyway.
I know. And then Matt Hardy is supposed to be there that day, but he's got a court date that day. So I don't know what's going to go on there. The internet's too live, for real. Like it'll be like straight up.
The internet is crazy, man. Like you can always look forward to some type of entertainment and shit.
And you end up hitting the promoter up. Like, I don't know if you read this over here, but he's got a date.
Yeah.
So he might get some time or some shit, but. Jeff delayed his shit for like a year.
What do you got court date for?
It was all that drug shit that he got hit up with.
Oh, wow.
He had to put off for a while. Like after shit, he was getting busted out of WWE and all that with. He was getting hit up with all sorts of shit, and they just. Hardy Boys now had to delay that shit.
Yeah, that's crazy. They got poor, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, fuck it. Some of that tag team money and shit. I don't know. But yeah, man, I don't know. You got anything else you want to throw out there or anything?
Like, it's a big weekend for wrestling. I mean, I just say people make sure y'all show y'all support for indie wrestling because it's going to be big this weekend. I'm looking forward to it. It's going to be fun. I'm wondering how Best of the Best going to pan out. They got just a lot of talented dudes on there. They got a couple of type guys in it, but overall, it's gonna be pretty good.
Yeah, they definitely got a card over there. They got them cats that couldn't work for shit in the ring with y'all in November. Then they got Sammy and Drake. That's first round. That match right there is four cats in the first round. It's a four way.
Yeah.
Sammy Drake and MCAS. Then they got Chuck Taylor, Johnny Gargano, and Samurai Del Sol. Then they got ACH, Lince Dorado, AR Fox. Then they got Alex Colon, Willie Mack, and Greg Excellent filling in for UA.
Oh, yeah. Willie Mack and Greg Excellent in a match together. You know that's entertainment.
Crazy
as
shit.
That's definitely
entertainment.
Like, I think
Alex Colon figuring shit out.
Yeah, I think people gonna love Willie Mack. They definitely gonna love Willie.
Yeah.
I like to see Alex take the title, take the tournament though. Like I think like out of everybody, Alex Colon, I think he would win that. Yeah, if it was up to me, he would win that. Like out of everybody, he got the most.
That'd be a brave move. It wouldn't be a bad move.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, and. A lot of cats, you know, they just go with what's expected, what's going to get over and stuff. But if they make a jump the gun move like that and then just push the shit out of him,
that would be
a brave move.
Cool, man. Yeah, he deserves it, man. He's been busting his ass over the past year and a half, man. He definitely deserves it.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, the favorite's Sammy Callahan, but, I mean, nobody's going to be shocked by that. So, just like I thought, you know, they should have put Tremont over in Tournament of Death because that shit would have been a brave move. And then, from there, you move on. You're the first one to make that move with him.
Right.
But, you know, they like to build people so everybody knows what's going to happen. That ACH cat, I seen him online and shit. He looked pretty nice, too.
Yeah, athletic dude.
Yeah, I don't know about, winning the whole shit, but I just like to see what he got in person and shit, because I only seen some shit he was doing at Texas, AR Fox. But yeah, man. But I don't really got much more. Pretty much gonna wrap this shit up. But good luck, man. Yo, kill it out there. Tear shit up. Closing Jersey All Pro doors and shit. And
yeah.
I'm back.
Yeah,
we gonna close straps.
We gonna close them doors. We gonna get them titles. Bring that back to Philly. You know what I'm saying? But it's going to be hot. It's going to be a good show, though, overall.
Good shit, man. Yep. Yeah, man, so do that up. I'm going to let you go. Really ain't got shit left. I stalled for almost an hour with this cat, and then finally got him.
How was going, though, dog? Like, on the solo with the show, you know what I'm saying? I'll be listening to it.
It's cool. It's just a little bit of, you know, spinning plates here and there, because, you know, I'm best when I'm prepared with shit. So I expected Dave off the jump, and then I was like, oh, fuck, minutes and minutes and minutes. So it was like an hour, a couple people call in bullshit with. So it was all right.
Yeah.
I'm not really, can't say I'm really missing much. I don't think it would have been any different if I had Eric on. But, you know, it is what it is. Eric played his part.
Keep doing your thing, man.
Yeah, thanks, man. Like I said, kill it out there. See you back in CZW doing the thing, and it's what it is, man. We talking.
All right. All right, take it easy.
Yep, you too, peace.
All right.
Yeah, so there goes Black G's. Called in real quick. Let everybody know he's about to tear it up over there in Jersey All Pro. Send that company out with a bang. If you've seen the promo that them cats did, it might be a bigger bang than you think. They're going to do the thing over there, and you know, nobody should be surprised on how that shit turns out. So it's what it is. Pretty much going to take it out from here before we even go into archive, any of that shit. 15 minutes left before that, but we'll just do that. And then next week I'll have all sorts of the best to talk about and all that. Let me actually play this track, because I actually didn't finish playing the track when, wow, hold on, this shit is all fucked up. Let me see if I can reload this shit right quick. Bullshit for a minute. And, so I was trying to play this motherfucking track, and then finally got Dave on, so I had to stop that. So I'm going to play this track, then I'll play the outros, and I'll catch everybody next week. Plugs real quick. Like to plug, what the fuck do I want to plug? Yolanda for making them shirts. I'm definitely going to be placing another order with her. That's going down for sure, because I'm just about out. I got like 10 shirts left, and they're all assigned to people. I got certain people that's going to get them, G's being one of them. And, you know, all sorts of that going on. What else do I got to plug? Oh, realsidemedia.com. My dude John Gray over there doing his thing. I think that's pretty much it. Everybody who listened, thanks. You know, thanks for putting up with me trying to keep this shit moving when I was expecting a guest and everything like that. And I don't do the best when I'm not prepared for some shit like that. But it's a growing process. It's whatever, you know. I get better by the week. I don't give a fuck. Come back next week, all right? Check the track out, and then I'll hit the outro. All right, peace.
You know, one day I got a call from the ghost. He told me I had to get on this conference call to discuss a little business with him and the homie Rosé. You know, a situation transpired where a nigga had to get dealt with a little harshly. Yeah.
Root for the villain and shoot with no feeling. Like audio tool, yeah, the crew is top villain. Blowing the Dutch in the coupe with no feeling. Invisible bully like the Gooch when I'm illin'. Cash too green. Take to the toilet like a Michael Corleone in the bathroom scene. Young black Vito chopping rap kilos. Clap torpedoes, stack Doritos. Green and Mako, sipping the mojito. Discussing Felico, green weed and diesel. AK muzzle air holes you can see through. Riding the bulletproof vibe, yeah, I'm lethal.
Yo, when niggas hear this shit, they say it's harsh. Type of shit that make you want to handle a nigga harsh. Hostile, aggressive, and kind of harsh. Like a Rothschild with money, that's why I'm harsh.
How we dealing with them?
Harsh.
How we dealing with them?
Harsh.
How we handling them?
Harsh.
How we mangling them?
Harsh.
Stop bitching, you the one who done caused me to act. Yeah, and if I'm bitching,
right,
and you front, it's my duty to act.
Style is infectious, actress in a Lexus. Sunroof open, hash sheets for breakfast. Beef never settle, I'm Lior to the ghetto. Russell with the hustle, Rick Rubin with the metal. When I lick a shot, I'm aiming at your top floor.
Hold up.
Blocks like stocks, everybody bought more. Birds fell out the sky, rats just rock dead, flying through bed style. White drum.
going on with you? This is Greg Excellent, the Bearded Dragon of the Northeast. And you're listening to Yakuza Kick Radio. And if you're not, you're probably watching porn and you have this muted. But you should be listening to it. Jason Mann.
Peace. What up? This is Eddie Kingston, last of a dying breed. I have a lot of other nicknames as well. But the bottom line is, you're listening to Yakuza Kick Radio, where my man keeps it thorough. You heard me? Keep it locked in.
But you go to the back, and you tell your boss that there's a new Yakuza in town. And it's Yakuza Kick Radio, and we're taking over.
And we're taking over. And we're taking over. And we're taking over.